This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3672, for Tuesday, the 30th of August, 2022. Today's show is entitled Hacker Public Radio 2021-2022 New Year's Show Part 3. It is hosted by Hum Kimagu and is about 199 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, the HPR community comes together to chat.
Hey guys, has anybody of you ever played around with Raspberries, the camera which you can connect through the ribbon cable, and WebRTC, so that you kind of can connect from a web browser to your Raspberry Pi, and it would then stream what's on the camera. Has anybody done things like that?
I haven't. I've heard of people doing it. I've heard people talk about it on different podcasts, as well as MeWe channels and Facebook Raspberry Pi groups.
Now, I tried to go quite minimal with the Raspberry Pi Zero. And yeah, I'm not so happy with the resolution. The camera could deliver much more, but I cannot find anywhere. Well, what's the maximum of picture quality that can be delivered through these little devices? Does anybody have a clue?
Well, actually, I think not too long ago, I think there was an upgrade or a different camera that you can buy, because there were like two like really low-end cameras. One was just like the regular Raspberry Pi camera. Then the other one was almost like it, but I think they took off the infrared filter, and that made it, I think, better for like nighttime viewing or something like that. But then there's a third camera that's I think much higher resolution, but I can't remember what the name of that better camera is.
Yeah, the thing is, the camera I have the first. Well, I bought it cheap on AliExpress and cost like $2 or $3. And this has approximately 5 megapixel, if I'm not mistaken. So you could, in maximum, when you do streaming, you could do like a full HD, full HD. And I cannot even get this high. I settle somewhere around 480 by 640 pixels. So judging from the quality of the picture, and I spent already quite some time, and I tried to find some information what you can squeeze out of this little device, where the limitation is, if it is the Raspberry Pi itself, the Raspberry Pi Zero, or if it is the wrong software I'm using. And I tried this UV4L. And almost everybody guides you to this website. But then when you try to get this thing up and running, at least when I tried, never really worked. It just didn't work.
Yeah, as I can remember, and this was a few years ago, yeah, the resolution on the Raspberry Pi camera wasn't all that great. But again, I'd look into the latest camera. I can't remember what the resolution on that was, but that might be better. I'm not sure how much you'll be able to do with the Zero, because I've never really used the Zeros. All my Pis are actually just like Raspberry Pi 1, 1A, I think 3, 3 Plus, and Raspberry Pi 4. I've never really used the Zero before.
The Raspberry Pi Zero is interesting, considering some projects because of the size, right? And it was and then I have chosen it because so many people around the world use it. So I thought it would be the best solution. Then I finally find something for that case. And the thing is, if you build like a birdhouse where you put it somewhere out on the tree, and you throw a camera in it, a Wi-Fi stick, and a battery pack, then you can basically they do, so some people do that, then they follow, they hope that a bird is coming into your box and is raising his children within like 14 days to 3 weeks, then they are gone. And then it is quite handy if you have such a small device, first for the place, and secondly for the small power consumption. So this was one of the thing why I went for the Zero.
Yeah, that's definitely a good choice for that particular application.
But then again,
have you looked into the ESP32 camera?
If I have looked at it or what?
I mean, it's much cheaper and much smaller. I don't know what the resolution is though, but I mean, if you're not getting very good resolution off the Raspberry Pi, the ESP32 is a lot smaller than the Zero even.
You think that I could save even more energy with that setup?
I believe so, yeah.
That's a good idea.
I'm not sure what the pixels are. I'm looking into it right now. I'm checking what the difference is between the cameras themselves, but yeah, it's a lot smaller and I don't know what the difference is in any other way other than it's smaller and a lot cheaper.
Just thinking, the ESP32 is while sending, he's also quite power hungry, if I remember correctly. It needs quite some energy, and I don't know how to talk then to the device. If you could, with this WebRTC, then the Raspberry Pi kind of offers a web server where you connect to, so it's WebRTC, so it's like speaking to each other, like a chat, but you just see the camera then, obviously, and if you have a microphone as well, you get some audio.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to get, with the ESP, you're not going to have like a GUI to play around in. You're going to have to code through the Arduino or Python.
This would be possible. Thanks, Verbal, for the link, the Raspberry Pi camera. But this one goes up to 12 megapixel, I guess, if mine already struggles with 5, I won't go that high.
Hey, and the other thing you can do probably is instead of taking like, and I'm not sure what you want to do, but instead of taking like continuous video, which would be like a power drain, what you could do is set up like a, say like a cron job to do like just occasional like image captures. And then what you can do after you captured all those images, you can convert those images into a video.
That's a nice idea. I have done that once on a birthday where I placed the Raspberry Pi somewhere and just let them shoot every 15 seconds a picture. It's a good idea.
Yeah, I did that with a Canon camera, because Canon cameras used to come with this. It's called CHDK, which was Canon Hack Development Kit. So what that was is you can replace the stock Canon software with special software, and it would give you different functions. Like one of them was time. It's like time lapse or things like motion sensors or things like that. And that was pretty fun. What I did, you know, back then was I was wondering what my dog did all day. And so I set up a time lapse on the Canon camera. And basically, he just slept all day mostly.
We just got some more tips and ideas in the chat. I need some time to go through.
Hello, Sebastian.
Hello. The MicroStreamer, which was in the chat, is a lightweight, very quick server to stream MJPEG video. The thing is, MJPEG video, well, JPEG is in itself a compressed file format. But on the other hand, the Raspberry comes with an H.264 hardware encoder, decoder, one or the other or both. And so you would, it would be, have almost zero delay, so to say. So this would be very handy. Now, I don't know. The MicroStreamer sounds interesting. Looks like I tried the MJPEG streamer, but was not so happy with it. And, yeah, some comparison on the website. I guess I put the things now in the Etherpad, unless somebody else already did it. Looks interesting to give it a try. Girolo, you wrote that you use this package from MicroStreamer, and have you also tried others? I have one more. This is called PyCrel K. cam. I put the link in the Etherpad on the link to the Etherpad is on the website of HPR. And they also seem to be quite good. Do we have by any chance already some experience with this one?
Can I be heard now?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good. So now I can be heard, right? I have not used this for ages. 2 years, maybe. Probably 2 years, actually. And it's changed a little bit since, I think. Right process just to set Mumble up in Ubuntu or any on the desktop, any distro, really.
Europe goes to New Year. There is a lot of noise out there.
Where are you from? Switzerland, is it?
Sorry, was at the window. Yes, I'm from Switzerland.
Yeah, I think the name gave it away when you look again. You know, Swiss, right?
And in Germany, it is forbidden to have any fireworks, but obviously not in Switzerland.
In England, it's no. Actually, the UK is different depending on where people are, because it really has been split up for this. Everywhere's got slightly different rules. Be that England, Wales, Scotland, or Northern Ireland.
Same here. Everything where I'm at, it's completely illegal, but I've bought fireworks in other states in the US. I said that.
No, fireworks are allowed here. It's more about people getting together or not, and if that's allowed, and how many people, and all that, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Here, it's like in California, it's a lot like Australia. We like to catch on fire. So fireworks are a big no-no.
Well, there'll be fireworks 1 hour to go here, and it'll go bang outside, I'm sure.
Oh, I gotcha. So is it legal for you guys to own fireworks?
No, it's not. No, fireworks is fine. It's just they're doing COVID restrictions here, right? And every country, because the UK is split up, United Kingdom actually splits up into its four countries, really. And every country has its own rules, slightly, if that makes sense. So, for example, the nightclubs are all open in England tonight. However, if you're in Wales, they're closed. And so some of the Welsh have come over, I'm sure, to come clubbing here tonight instead. And also in Scotland, they're doing some rules a bit more as well, and so some of the Scots are down in England as well to do New Year. So you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you.
But the problem is, we've had Christmas in England, right? We've had Christmas without any restrictions as such. We've had New Year's now without any restrictions as such. They said you have to wear face masks in the shop again, and on the bus and taxis and trains, and when you walk into a cinema, but when you sit in the room, you don't have to, I believe. Things like that. But we might pay for this in January now, that's the only thing, because, to be fair, there is a virus still going around, and, you know, it's not made up. And I just have a feeling that when I want to do things in January myself, going out a little bit, going to things, that potentially there's going to be restrictions, so, which is a bit annoying. I just have that feeling that something's going to happen. I just can't believe it's going to just stay like this, not after what's been happening the last 2 years. It's like...
Yeah, I don't know if you caught what happened with what the CDC said here in America, but they're essentially telling us that fucking the economy is more important than people's lives.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's kind of what's happening here as well. It's like you didn't lock down at Christmas, you didn't lock down at New Year's because the pubs want money, and the bars, and, you know, pubs, nightclubs, bars, restaurants, all that. They had to be closed last year a bit, but it's like the economy is more important. And then when people get given the choice, like with face masks, for example, you don't have to wear a face mask. I mean, I didn't always wear a face mask either, to be fair. But however, when people are given that choice, 99% of people don't do it, of course. And so the only way to make people do it, really, or enough people, is to kind of try and force it onto people like they were doing. And that probably does actually help stop some of the spread, to be fair. It's not going to stop everything, but it does probably help a little bit.
Yeah, well, we have all of that wearing masks and nothing closing down. But we've also reduced the amount of time that you have to quarantine from 10 days to 5 days, despite the, you know, gestation time or your contagious time for COVID being like 28 days.
Yeah, they did that here as well. I think it's down to about maybe 7 days now or 10 days instead of 2 weeks. And
it's bad.
Oh yeah, it's bad. In fact, I know. Like, this is going to be recorded, so I'm a bit like, ooh, I don't want to say this on here, but I guess I can. There was a guy in our Linux user group who moved to Florida, and it turns out he died of COVID in the summer on my birthday. So, you know, that's not great, is it? One of those really clever people as well that you would have learnt a lot from about Linux and other things as well, which is sad.
Oh yeah, and you can't force people to grow a brain.
I mean, common sense. Yeah, I don't know. I'm a little bit mixed. On the one hand, we want to go out and do things. Go to cinema, go to a restaurant. You know, eat out and enjoy life.
It's not about not living your life, it's about mitigating risk.
Yeah. But on the other hand, there is a thing going around. It has killed certain people, and it will kill more people. And there's a lot of people that are just not particularly taking it that seriously either. They're just like going, oh, well, it's New Year, let's go out, let's go pubbing, let's do this, let's do that. And there'll be more photos come tomorrow about people who have been out tonight. And I got a friend
here in Texas, basically nobody's wearing masks anymore. The people are wearing masks are extremely few and far between. And
yeah, that's exactly that's what's happened here as well. It's like the 1%. My mum wears a mask, but she works in care with vulnerable people, let's say, and so they have to kind of wear a mask in her job anyway. But when you go out into the outside world and you go to shop. So you go to cinema. She went to cinema on Thursday, and she was telling me on the phone how it was a bit like a wake up call. Like, wow, is it that? Is it really like this? Yeah, 50 people will not be wearing masks in the cinema because they don't have to. In the when you're watching a movie, it's just how it is now. And about 1% of people are doing it, and those people are, I would say, they're the sort of the older people usually and stuff like that. And probably the same in America and, well, everywhere probably, really, because most people have had enough of this. But
yeah.
On the other hand, I was a bit unsure with masks to begin with as well. I've read all the stuff on the internet about them being bad and they make your glasses steam up and all the rest of it. But now I'm a bit like, actually, maybe I went to a pub early this month and obviously there's nobody masked in the pub and I knew that, but I thought, actually, you know what? I'm in my early 30s now, and I don't want to get COVID either, really. And even some of the really young people can get it and get badly affected. Or you can get long COVID or something. So it's not ideal either way. It's good to try and avoid it. But then the second you go out to a shop, people weren't masked before, and now they're supposed to be. You go to a pub, they're not going to be masked. They don't have to wear them in masks in the pub or clubs or any of that. And I don't know quite, but
Have you ever seen the short movie where a guy is using this? I don't know how you call this in English, but instead of smoking a cigarette, you can just breathe in hot air, which is generated from this device that you hold in your hand. So then he takes a deep breath, puts several different masks on his face, and then he breathes out. And you know, the steam, now I got it, the steam you see then, you know, the steam is equivalent to your breath, right? But now you get it visible. And then you probably stop wearing a mask in the cinema.
There's been a few internet graphics where they try and show, like, somebody I know was linking some of this on Facebook before, and she was trying, where they're basically showing, like, this is what happens with a mask. This is what happens without a mask. This is what happens with two masks. Both people are wearing a mask. I think you mean a bit like that, don't you?
Well, he was actually expressing the opposite to try and show that masks are not effective, using a vaporizer and the fact that moisture, the water vapor from the vaporizer could make it through the mask, even multiple masks. But just because something isn't 100% effective doesn't mean that you shouldn't use it.
Well, yeah, that's the debate, isn't it? One side is that masks don't really work. What's the point in this? On the other hand, it's like, well, they work a bit actually, and if you are infected, so they might actually help a little bit.
There is two ways. Either it helps or it doesn't help. Where it helps, if somebody is next to you to speak, you speak to somebody, and while you're speaking, you evaporate probably as well. Maybe it's the correct word. I don't know. Your voice is carrying some stuff, right? And so when you wear a mask, then you will not carry it over to this other person. It will rather go leave your face on the side than in front of your mouth. There it's really helpful. Maybe also in a supermarket where the fruits are just everywhere around and people look over it and breathe and everything, and things get are more clean. However, when you are for more than an hour in the same room with the people, then I guess a good air condition is in any case always a good idea, no matter if somebody is ill or not. And but apart from that, do you want to continue your life of being afraid that you're going to die? I mean, you will die anyway, right?
Well, that's kind of the other side to that as well. One thing is, like, do we want to wear masks forevermore? And the answer to that is probably no. Most of us are going to say no. I mean, in some of the Asian countries, they do wear masks as part of their culture anyway, I believe. When they're ill, they will wear a mask sort of thing and so on. But in our kind of country, Europe and America as well, you know, Western countries, most of us are going to probably be like, no, I don't want to be wearing the mask, having to wear a mask forevermore, basically, just because there might be viruses around and germs. And that was a thing I've seen on the internet a few times as well, where some people went and said, like, oh, we were allowed to spread colds before and flu and things, so why can't we do that with COVID sort of thing? Why is COVID different? That's what some people said online. I've seen these comments. And I think the reason COVID was different, answering that question, actually, I believe is because there was no vaccine, and it did kill a lot of people, or potential, and it could. But they're trying to treat it like a flu now, or starting to, I believe.
Well, people tried to treat it like a flu right from the beginning.
Yeah, but like the governments are starting to kind of go that way now as well, some of them, I think, but we're not there quite.
And it potentially could be similar to the flu if everybody were to get vaccinated, or everybody that didn't have a reason to not get vaccinated that related.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of another debate now I could go into, where basically people go, oh, but if I get vaccinated, I could catch it anyway, so why should I get vaccinated? And it's like, you know,
you're less likely to die from it if you're vaccinated?
Well, yeah, but I've had three, depends on your age. I'll just say, yeah, I've had three Pfizer jabs. I'm 34. And there was an AstraZeneca jab they did in the UK, not really doing it anymore, but I decided not to have that originally for some other reasons. But I've had three Pfizer jabs, the third one very recently. Most people have been vaccinated, I believe, on some of the, like, sort of dating sites now as well. Well, they actually can, people can lie on here, on there, obviously, but they can, it says, have you been vaccinated? And you can put what you've, if you've been fully vaccinated, part vaccinated, or non-vaccinated. I've seen that on something. But I do think most people are vaccinated in the UK. However, there's quite a lot that aren't vaccinated as well. That's the thing.
What I think would be a nice thing to carry on in the future is to wear a mask when you feel not so well, and you don't know if something is if you're becoming flu or anything. If something is coming and you feel not so well, and you wear a mask in order not to accidentally infect any of your people around you.
Yes, that's what I just said, like, what, 3 minutes ago. I sort of basically said they kind of do that in the Asian countries. I believe in it as part of their culture anyway. But here in the Western countries, a lot of us don't really want to do that even. Even if we're feeling a bit ill, we do not want to wear masks. But some people will do it. But, you could go into another debate and you could start saying things like that a lot of people are selfish and get into all this, you know, but it's like you can debate everything. It's all opinion, isn't it?
Selfish in which regard now, when wearing a mask because of a flu or?
Well, yeah, we're on the mask subject. So it could be that they just, even though they feel ill, they don't want to wear a mask even so. Like you're saying, it would be nice if people did wear a mask because they know they're feeling a bit ill, but certain people won't do it anyway.
Yeah, well, I was just ill now over the last few days, and usually I have my nose out of the mask so that I can breathe. But then in this situation, well, first of all, you stay at home as long as you can. But then when you have to get some groceries or anything, you got to go into a shop, then you wear the mask as good as it gets, I guess, to protect people around you. Now, this is a matter of, how to say, values, right? Values people think about others.
Yeah, it's a bit like somebody said to me, to the same woman who was linking those graphics about maths working out, actually. She's about 60-something. But anyway, she was saying to me something the other day on Facebook, like, people who are, like, wanting the pubs open at the moment, they're being selfish, basically. Because what she meant is because there's still a virus going around, this Omicron or whatever. And in a way, I can see her point. But on the other hand, it's like, in a way, people who are out now celebrating New Year's, going to pubs and nightclubs, you know, even if they've had their lateral flow test, a test, you know, you could sort of say, is that right? Should they be out doing that, really?
You can go out and still be safe. Nothing's 100% safe other than, you know, locking yourself in your home. But if you go out, maintain distances, wear a mask if you're going to be close to someone, you know, get handed your drink, be wearing your mask then take your mask off and have your drink.
I have never seen a virus politicized the way this one has been in the U.S. I really think it's ridiculous that people not wanting to get sick is a political decision now, and that's just wrong. When we had the Spanish flu 100 years ago, the government said everyone gets this vaccine now, and they took it, and nobody said anything about it. And now all of a sudden, they can brag about how fast Trump got the vaccines to market, and then they forget that he took it himself, and they're all going out and saying, "Oh, don't take that. Only sheep will do that." And going, you know,
he even told people last year to get the vaccine.
Yeah, but he followed it up with, "But it's everyone's choice."
Yeah, but it's not just the US. I'm in the UK, right? We've got Boris Johnson for England, and then there's a different, and then each other UK country has their own like person in charge. But it's basically every country with the World Health Organization. We've all got a slightly different version of lockdown and restrictions, but we're all going through the same thing, basically.
Well, my point is, how did we allow this to become a political issue when it's a health issue?
That's a good question.
In the US, that's a question. In the UK, we've actually got something called the National Health Service anyway, which is our health system, and the health system is funded by, guess who? The government, or if you like, the taxpayer.
Well, so that's how a lot of our nursing system is forced to get the vaccine. If they accept any government funding, then they're considered to be government employees, and they're required to get the vaccine, which is why so many people recently quit the nursing industry and were so short-handed.
I believe some of the care organizations here, with especially old people care, they're trying to sort of force the vaccine onto their employees. Basically, you get jabbed or you're not having this job. I don't know if anything's actually gone through properly like that, but I know I've read something saying that.
Well, there's much more than one reason to quit being a healthcare worker in this country. If you are being a healthcare worker and you're being responsible and you're wearing your protective equipment and you got the vaccine and you're getting screamed at by people who are telling you that it's a hoax and there's no such thing as this virus and the vaccine is just a...
And that's all they're going to take is the ivermectin. And...
Well, fine. Give them more ivermectin. Let them poison themselves, you know?
Watch them die.
I mean, it's not a parasite. It's a virus. Like I said, it should never have gotten politicized like this. And it's in the U.S., it's the fault of the Orange Julius Caesar was.
Yeah, but it's not politicized just with one country. It's politicized with all the countries that have the World Health Organization, basically. Canada, UK, Europe, Germany. But on the other hand, it also has killed a few hundred thousand or more people. So it's a bit of a...
Yeah, we haven't even discussed the availability of the vaccine in third world countries and that political snafu, but...
Oh, is that... I just got on here about 24, half an hour ago nearly, but okay, that's that. We can talk about that. So I'll start with say something about that. So in the UK, we had the AstraZeneca, our own vaccine, which they've kind of stopped using for, I believe, because of possible blood clots was one of the reasons, but so it's embraced Pfizer. We've got a lot of Pfizer, and we've got there's a little bit of Moderna as well. But they were going to give out, they were going to give away vaccine to the developing countries as well, and I believe they have not given many out away at all so far.
Yeah, well, even the AstraZeneca. I do remember hearing something about the blood clots, but that was like. Very, very low numbers on the percentage of people that ended up with blood clots, and it seemed like they pulled it a little bit early.
Well, the numbers on AstraZeneca were considerably higher than the same numbers on the other mRNA vaccines. So, I don't know, maybe it's just a bad version of mRNA.
No. AstraZeneca is done a different way. Like, the old vaccine, it's not like Pfizer and Moderna. It's done like the old ones, but I think the part of the blood, a lot of the blood clot story actually was political as well, because the UK did a Brexit and it left the European Union last year or the year before, 2019 sort of thing, and that was what it was to do with, I believe, as well, partly, and so they came out with this story, which had some truth to it, I'm sure, but then it also got politicized, and then Germany for a bit banned the vaccine, I believe, as well, banned the AstraZeneca vaccine, and I think maybe Switzerland did as well. I'm not sure. We have Switz here if he's still here, but some of the countries, I believe, temporarily banned AstraZeneca, and were like,
nobody wants to get AstraZeneca unless you're ready to die.
Why do you say that?
Because you have to dig maybe a little bit, but the vaccine of AstraZeneca, what it is based for, and what it led to, and what else was used from AstraZeneca, so it is this kind of a copy of another one of an existing vaccine they had, if I remember correctly. I'm just quote here what I have in my mind, and then they. They just changed it in that way or in that direction. But last but not least, now as you speak about the vaccine, does you think that everybody should get vaccinated? And if everybody was vaccinated, they would be the world would be a safe place. I got my cold from a person who is double vaccinated, including booster plus influenza vaccine as well. And I am without vaccine. I'm not vaccinated. He gave it to me. I'm really grateful.
Well, that's the debate. Well, that's the thing as well. The vaccine, you can still catch it even if you've been vaccinated. However, if you've been double or triple vaccinated, there should be less of a problem. However, the thing now also is like, hang on, some countries are talking, like Germany, we're talking about a fourth vaccine, another jab, a booster, another, a fourth one. I'm thinking, like, how many vaccines boosters are there going to be before this is basically over six, seven, eight? I asked my dad this the other week, or last week, or the other day, or something. And he sort of said, he's in his 60s, and he sort of said, oh, maybe six jabs. And I was like, really?
Well, you're probably going to end with a yearly booster. Well, hopefully it's now. It's every 3 to 6 months.
And then one idea was that if you have a Pfizer booster, that it doesn't last as long, maybe 10 weeks. The third one, that is.
Because the virus...
Well, the mRNA vaccines were never approved for human trials because of all the problems with the animal testing.
Because they die.
Yeah, they almost all die after the mRNA vaccine, about a 6 month span of what they're vaccinated against or something else. I used to follow that all the time because it sounded like a great solution to immunizing everybody for everything, but they never got it working. So we're in the middle of a 2 year largest human trial study on mRNA.
I don't know with the animals dying quite, but that sounds kind of true. I did hear that before, that in a way that these are, in the UK they were emergency approved or something, whatever that really means, but I've heard it's sort of experiment still, and we're hoping that it
falls into a human trial. So normally when they're testing drugs, they'll have a small subset of healthy people that they test the drugs on over time, small sets, and they increase. So they're not doing that. It just went to billions of people.
Well, hopefully it's going to be okay, because a lot of us have had this now, and
Well, I've had all three of my shots, and it's been more than 6 months, so I'm still here.
Well, yeah, same. I've had three, isn't what, but this year.
What gets me is how Moderna, this is the first drug of any kind that Moderna has had, and there keeps being more and more COVID, and the Moderna vaccine is effective against most of these strains, but their stock price keeps dropping. You'd think it'd go up if it was a useful vaccine, you know?
I don't know. There's some little bit of Moderna here as well, but I think it's mostly Pfizer. However, that's the other thing as well. You're on like another point here, that, and that's what some people say as well, that basically it's big pharmacy. They make lots of money from these vaccines as well.
Yeah, somebody's making a lot of money from it.
It's not me.
Did you buy stock from Moderna, not just get the shot?
I actually did buy a little bit of Moderna stock. I can't afford much. It was like 1.3 shares or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I had to sell it because it just kept dropping.
There was a story, I can't remember bang on now, but I think it was that basically one of the guys who comes on TV with these updates with the Prime Minister here, he had actually bought some shares in one of the vaccine companies or something like this, because this came out about 9 months ago, something like that anyway.
Yeah, my mother passed away this past January of COVID, and in June or July, I guess July, I started actually getting a payout from her estate, which was much larger than anyone believed it was going to be, and I'm only get 15% and they have to spread it out over 5 years. But for a change, I've had a little bit of money that I could invest. And I mean a little bit, because my wife doesn't want me to even be doing that. She considers it gambling. So I was getting $100 a month, and now I'm at 200. And thanks to the app called Robinhood, I'm able to do that and not just be spending all my money on broker fees and whatnot.
Can you tell a little bit about that Robinhood app, how that works? I mean, I've heard about it and the thing about that hedge fund made it to the news over here. But what is the idea? What is the philosophy of this Robinhood app?
The philosophy is basically to let anybody that has anything to invest it. And they don't charge any fees. I do not know how they get their money, but it's not from fees, and it's they allow you to actually keep your money uninvested with them as if they were a bank, and they pay a little bit better interest than most banks these days, but that's not saying much. But you just can pick your stocks, and you can buy, you know, minuscule, you know, hundreds of thousandths of portions of a share of whatever. And right now I'm up to about $700 or $800 worth of stock. And that's not diddly, but you can pick whatever you want.
I missed the beginning of I didn't hear about the Robinhood app because probably only been on about half an hour, but that sounds quite interesting. Robinhood is also a English thing, really, famous. I want to find out more about that, but before I lose my, forget my little, other little points.
Yes, there have been many characters thought to have been Robin Hood. There's all kinds of historical documentaries on that issue, and they've got him in various different periods of time. But most commonly, as the time while Richard was off being king in Europe, or being king of England, but in Europe. at any rate, the app is basically a way for you to invest your money without having to give up fees of any kind, or certainly most brokerages that you go to, they'll laugh at you when you say you have $100 to invest, and they probably take most of that just in their fees. Whereas, as far as I know, Robinhood app does not take any fees, and I do not know how they make their money, but it's not from that aspect of their investing.
But
they follow trends of.
Is the risk you take when you invest via Robinhood, then you choose, I don't know, some standard bank or trading company who is, I don't know, known for 10, 15 years, what I know. Is the risk higher?
No, the risk is the same. If you're going through a brokerage company, there's fees involved, and it's usually larger amounts of money that they want you to be working with. Really, Robinhood is it treats stocks and the market in similar ways to your crypto exchanges do. Crypto exchanges let you buy portions of even bitcoins or something like that and do very small transactions, and it's the same thing with Robinhood.
Thank you.
And it's not just stocks you can buy. There are also some mutual funds you can buy, and there are also some cryptocurrencies you can buy.
And this is just around for, what is it, about 2 years or so?
Yeah. There's also been some heavy controversy with Robinhood, especially earlier in 2021. In regards to GameStop.
Right.
And them stopping trading on GameStop because the value got so high, and supposedly it was because they were overloaded, but the thought was that it was market manipulation, and they were keeping the rich by preventing people from making money on that stock.
Yeah, rich people are allowed to manipulate the market. Poor people are not.
And then they were able via Reddit to influence, so via Reddit, via Robinhood, they were able to influence the market.
Right. It was Reddit. It was some Redditors that kind of tweaked the market there. And they did legal market manipulation. They basically just talked people into purchasing GameStop stock and pushed the price up and increased the value of it. But it wasn't necessarily specifically Robinhood that they were aiming at. They were aiming across the market. They just wanted people to buy this stock, so they created buzz about it.
I do want it said that I do not own any GameStop.
Yeah.
I have decided to start investing according to the stupidity of the market rather than just the things I'd like to see succeed in the market. So I'm going to start buying Facebook and Google and all these stocks that will never go down because people are too stupid not to buy them.
I was actually listening to Jamie Oliver when he was talking about the GameStop debacle. And the funny thing I think was that the market people actually shorted the GameStop stock a lot. So they thought that the GameStop was on the way out. And when it rose in value, they lost so much money, which was really fun.
Yeah, which is why places like Robinhood stopped trading.
Well, they only stopped for a short while. They opened it back up again because they came under criticism for stopping it.
Hello, by the way, from 2022 in Sweden. Very foggy today, so we didn't see any fireworks, but it was really nice.
Glad to hear it. I have a friend in Sweden.
It's a large country, so there's a lot of people here.
Well, yeah, it's not like I was reading about Guyana and the only English-speaking country in South America, although more people speak a sort of English Creole than the actual English, but a whole whopping 800,000 people. You know.
I knew straight away that there was a Swedish person coming on here because I'm half Swedish as well. And I probably spoke to this, Callas about 2 years ago. I'm not sure, but either way. So yeah.
Do you know which half?
Yeah.
Top half, bottom half, one side or the other?
Well, true, you kind of, when you say half, well, actually, I could say I'm quarter Finnish or whatever that is as well, because I've got second cousins that are Finnish as well, but I know what you mean. I don't know which half. No, I don't.
I attempt to be funny at times.
No, I know you were joking.
Yeah, but I think Sebastian is a pretty common Swedish name, and Kalaspuffer is a very common Swedish brand of flakes or frosted flakes that you eat in the morning. So if you are from Sweden, you pretty much know the brand.
I'm half Swedish. I've lived in England most of my life, but yes, I can speak Swedish as well. Det jag kan.
Yep.
My one friend in Sweden is named Carl Johan Norén. I don't know if he's famous or anything, but I know him.
He's famous because you know him.
Well, he is a songwriter and has actually made several trips to the U.S. because of that.
I think Norén is a pretty common name or a pretty known name in the music industry. We have a couple of those that actually are producing a lot of music, but I didn't. I can't really point that person out in a crowd, but yeah.
Where are you from in Sweden? Why do we spell, yeah?
I'm from Gothenburg, or Kungsbacka. So three miles is so hard because it's not really a mile, but it's 30 kilometers or 35 kilometers from Gothenburg.
There was I can't remember what it's called. There's at least one Swedish Linux event that's been happening in Gothenburg. But you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think we had Foss North in Gothenburg.
Yeah. Foss North, that's it, isn't it? Yeah, Foss North.
Yeah, I was there in 2028 or so, or something like that. And I was helping out a bit, so I got to go in for free.
Yeah, that's cool, yeah. I remember I was going to go, maybe I thought about it, and then didn't go. And but then I had to go to, wind up in that airport another year, like the opposite side of the country, pretty much, to where we were actually going, because of missing a plane and having to drive from there to there, because Sweden is big. It's quite a big country with a lot of kind of empty, not much going on spaces, I suppose, or farmland and stuff and forests in between. But it is
well,
nice.
That's even true of the United States. There's a whole lot more rural U.S. than anyone thinks of.
Yeah, but Sweden is very long. That's the only thing. It's not really wide. It's just very tall.
Yeah, and it's tall on the map as well. It looks tall on the map as well, the normal map.
That's the fault of a Mercator projection. They make things north look bigger than they are.
Yeah, but I think you can't, or you need to spend the whole day, 24 hours, if you want to drive from south to north of Sweden.
Let's see, so Gothenburg to Norrköping, yeah? Quite a drive, huh?
Yeah. I actually went on a train from Gothenburg to Volrim, which is Kiruna, very far up north, and I sat on the train for 17 hours.
Oh, wow. wait, did you say that again? Katrina? Holm? No.
No, Volrim, near Kiruna.
Oh, right, okay.
It's pretty much in the farthest north of Sweden. It's almost in...
Lapland.
It's farther than that. But it actually, the most northern part of Sweden is called It's a place where the three countries meet. You have Finland, Sweden, and Norway.
Yeah, yeah.
Meeting at the top. And I think that Kiruna is pretty much a couple of, let's say, 100 miles, 100 kilometers from there or something like that.
There was a place in... Ooh, somewhere up in Lapland, and I went to like a club for public speaking there, but it was very international because on Zoom it was like, wow, that doesn't seem very Swedish, but somewhere up in Lapland otherwise, can't remember what's Lilia, that's it, bingo. Ever heard of that place? I think it's called Lilia.
Lilia?
Yeah, that's probably what it's called, isn't it?
Yeah. So that is pretty far up. But you have one place called Umeå, which is even further up. And Kiruna is pretty much even further than that.
But Umeå. There was somebody on Project that used to be involved with a bit who was from there. So, yeah. But it's true, it's very long. I suppose you're right, it's not really wide as such, it's just very long, it goes up and down Sweden, and it's a long country.
Yeah, and to the south you have pretty much Skåne with Denmark and so on, and there it's very hot in the summertime. And up north you have installations from Facebook and Google to keep them cold during both the winter and summer times, because it's really cold in northern.
Oh, Skåne, yeah, that's nice. Used to go there or through there sometimes when we would go over as a growing up and stuff, but obviously that's been many years now. But that Denmark also, that's kind of, from what I remember, it's got like sort of beach down the side of the country as you're driving through or whatever, going for a car, and it seems like a nice country as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty nice, very flat, and then you have all the Danish people. I have a real problem to really understand Danish people. It sounds like they have oatmeal in their throat when they're speaking, so it's really hard to understand them.
It's probably not as bad as Finnish, though, because Finnish, when they speak Finnish...
Yeah, Finnish is a totally different beast. They don't have any vowels in their language.
And Norwegian is... I don't know. I mean, it can be similar to Swedish as well, I think.
Yeah, Norwegian is pretty much happy Swedish. So they have a couple of other words, but they are very similar. So understanding a Norwegian that talks slowly is pretty easy.
Yeah. I've been to Norway very as a baby, maybe, or just. But no, it's supposed to be really nice over there as well.
A very nice countryside. So I've actually been thinking about going into their fjord. So you go by boat across the... border of Norway, so there's a trip going all the way there, and it's really nice atmosphere and really nice weather and so on.
Where was that?
Where you can go by boat through the border of, or the countryside of Norway, so you can go from south to north by boat.
Is that near Oslo or not? Or?
I think Oslo has an harbour, or if it's pretty much... But I think that's to the south. And then you go from there or even more south, and then you go by the coastline with boats. It's a very nice trip. So that's one thing I've been thinking about doing sometime.
Yeah, especially in pretty nice... Well, you said in the summer as well, didn't you? Because in the winter, it's probably going to be not very nice now.
Nope. I've been skiing in Norway a couple of times, and that's pretty nice, but not going there and just... being.
Yeah, well, I think Ken wants to speak.
Yeah, I'll just pop on and say Happy New Year to everybody. Has there been any issues with the Mumble server? Has it been behaving itself? No problems with the Mumble server then?
I haven't heard anything, but then again, I just arrived. Spent my New Year's here in Sweden just recently. But so you have the New Year's in 10 minutes or so, or have you already had it?
Already had it for just... Walking back, we did said hello to the neighbors, and we're just heading off to bed.
Nice.
Hey, Ken, what's going on?
Very little. It's late. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. I'll be back on here tomorrow. So I expect with the Saturday, it'll be the after show might be as long as the show itself.
Yeah, it is.
Hi, Verbal. Man, it's been a while.
Yeah, it has.
It's great to hear from you. How are you keeping? How's Mrs. Verbal?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great. Doing great. All the better for hearing you're okay. You should stay in touch. Submit a few shows. I'd like to hear what's going on.
Okay, we'll have to do that.
Okay. Oh, you're coming on, Sable.
Yes.
Says to my daughter. I'll switch audio. 1 second. Okay, say hello to everyone.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Thank you!
Okay, good bed.
Happy New Year!
Yeah, I'm probably staying up all night, so I'll be here in a moment. All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Okay, we still have 5 hours and 9 minutes here.
Very good. Very good.
So do you have any activities going up to the New Year, or are you just staying here?
Who? Him or me or anybody?
Yeah, anybody. We were sitting down watching some kind of lotto. That is pretty common in Sweden to have like an event where you watch a television show that goes on until the end of the year.
Yeah, same here. So we've got the Graham Norton show on, New Year special. Now, Graham Norton does a Friday night show every now and again. It can sometimes be funny, kind of, and they do celebrities and stuff. And I had it on at the very beginning before I came on, etc., and I was configuring Mumble. And now it's still on, but without any sound on. And I'm thinking, like, yeah, you know what? That's fine with me, because I don't want to hear this guy singing on TV. I really don't. I really, really, really don't. And in about 5 minutes or so, that will finish, and it will be Big Ben. I mean, I'll watch that. It'll be the fireworks. Although not the normal fireworks in London, because that got cancelled, and then the other one got cancelled as well, and this is going to be something smaller somewhere. And Edinburgh are not doing their normal thing either up in Scotland, that's what I heard.
They're just going to blow them all off at a party that Boris hosts.
Yeah, I mean, if you've seen that story, there was a Christmas party apparently last year when the country it was in lockdown, and he wasn't part of it, but people who worked for him were part of it, and it's leaked out recently, the story. I don't know if maybe you've seen
it
on the
internet
as well.
Oh, it didn't leak, it ran all over the place.
it got out onto the internet, and... they know about in America now as well, it turns out.
Yeah, news travels fast nowadays.
But yeah, some of the people they put on TV, like music, it's like, I don't want to hear this guy singing. I could put the volume up, which I'm not going to do. I just know, like, no, I just have no interest.
Well, we don't have Trump to laugh at so much anymore, so we have to switch to Boris.
But were you saying Biden's better, or, yeah?
Oh, Biden's kind of boring. Everybody's creepy uncle is about as far as you go with him.
Yeah. Like, Trump is still there, but he's not obviously not president anymore, so yeah.
Well, the fact that he supposedly has a media empire, or at least his media empire that doesn't exist yet, has $1.2 billion to invest from shell companies whose funding all comes from China, is about all you can talk about with Trump, because he doesn't have Twitter access anymore. He doesn't have any real access to the media anymore.
Yeah, well, say what you want about Trump, but every day was kind of funny.
Except for being scared out of your wits.
Yeah, some days it was really scary, some days it was really weird, and some days it was really funny. But always there was something that was happening. But then again, I watch Stephen Colbert, so I follow the America from a funny projection.
Oh, I mean, in the UK, they obviously had a bit of a laugh about it as well. On the TV and things as well, BBC and all that, yeah.
Well, I have a friend in Winnipeg who offered us couch space if we really needed it, and it didn't quite get that bad. And then a friend who is in this room right now has kind of offered me his boyhood home in Iowa in case I just wanted to hide out and still be in the U.S.
I think I hear a few fireworks, but they are like 3, 4, 5 minutes early, I think.
Yeah, they started at like 6 o'clock over here or something like that, so it's really early.
Oh, you know what? I can beat that, I think. Because I think about 24 hours ago, yeah? 24 hours ago, yeah? About, I think I had fireworks outside, because I remember I messaged someone on Facebook. I was like, I think I'm hearing fireworks, although that's like 24 hours early.
Yeah, here in Kungsbacka, the children were actually, kids were running up to the police station throwing fireworks into their yard. Well, they didn't realize that they had a lot of cameras over there, so the police have had a lot of fun trying to track those kids down.
There was a video of some shop in Asia, I think, somewhere. I can't remember. I saw an article the other day or night, and it was basically, it said that somebody were on the Sun, probably the UK thing, but anyway, on the website. But anyway, there was a video of a clip of somebody doing their shopping, and there were loads of fireworks and crackers, and I think party crackers maybe as well, going off in the shop at the same time. And it says, like, well, they really want to finish their shopping, so...
I'm very surprised we haven't heard anywhere I live, because these people are fireworks nuts. Anything that goes boom, they're for. But we heard a lot around, early
I live
July.
In Texas.
Yeah. We haven't heard anything yet.
I haven't heard anything yet either, but I expect the booming to start any time now.
Okay. Well, I'm an hour ahead of you, so we should get it first.
But isn't it illegal in some states to fire fireworks?
Has that ever stopped an American?
Not Texas.
Probably not.
I mean, literally, you could legally, as long as you were out in the middle of nowhere, I guess, fire a cannon.
The thing is, right, okay, the fireworks are going off outside, it's gone straight into the New Year's thing now, that makes sense. But, it's 1 minute to go, less than 1 minute, I'm going to watch this, hang on.
Yeah, we actually had a lot of fireworks going on around us, because we are living at the top of a mountain pretty much here in Kungsbacka. It's not a high mountain, but still pretty far up. So we should have seen a lot if it wasn't for the fog. And people are shooting a lot up here as well, because it's very visible. But then somebody was shooting this quite heavy piece, which was almost half a meter in half a meter in diameter or something like that. And that caught fires. We're actually going out hunting for some way to drench it so it didn't burn longer, because the people that shot it just left, which was really strange as well.
Yeah, well, we're not as bad as Texas here in eastern Tennessee, but they'll shoot anything and anybody.
I think most weapons are illegal in Sweden.
Would be nice.
Basically, no weapon is illegal in Texas, and
really,
you can carry it anywhere.
And if you don't own one, you're probably not going to get
if
anywhere.
If you're a male over the age of 18 and you don't own a shotgun, you're technically breaking the law.
I think there was somewhere where it was illegal to shoot a gun that just was blanked, but you could own a shotgun. Could that be Texas?
Texas, you can basically own any gun and open carry any gun without a license.
If you're white.
Well, you can do it if you're black, too. You know, statistical probability.
Yeah, you're not going to live long. You can do it. But yes, we do still have serious racial problems in the United States.
Yeah.
Heck, they still have serious racial problems in Canada, but at least they're trying to deal with them there.
I thought that was mostly historical, though, that they were trying to deal with.
Well, they definitely have problems with the indigenous population, but they
exactly
are working on that very hard. They are doing scans of the ground to see how many unmarked graves they can find near the residential schools. They have actually named an indigenous person as governor general, and she's doing quite a nice job up there. But they also have a number of problems with blacks and various types of Muslims and Hindus and whatnot. You can still get shot at for being a Sikh as being a Muslim. They don't know the difference any more up there than they do down here.
It's pretty strange for me to hear these kind of stories, because the most strange thing I hear about is my wife is working at the hospital, and she is actually actively the one that is working with people that are migrating to Sweden and trying to inform them that yes, you have free healthcare, and yes, you should visit the doctor if you need it. So most people that cross the border don't have any health history at all, and that's a real problem for the Swedish population.
All right, now we're having serious problems, especially in Texas, about women who feel they should not need to carry a birth to term. That the common perception of the American public is that Jesus himself said, "Thou shalt not have an abortion."
Well, he also said, "Kill all the firstborn in Egypt." So,
well, that wasn't Jesus; that was his dad.
That was God.
Of course, most Christians believe they are one and the same person.
Exactly, the Trinity.
But that never made sense to me. But no, I am not a Christian. Please don't stone me. That's why I'm on electronically. If something doesn't make sense, I don't believe it. I don't care how many billions of people do.
Yeah, we all have our opinions, and some of them are good.
All mine are good. What do you mean?
Yeah, I'm usually in the favor of everybody has their own right to their own body and can do whatever they want with their body.
It's rather disturbing that people think that they can dictate to other people what that person can and can't do with their own body.
The fireworks just started here, so I am no longer without booms in the distance. Actually, they're right outside my trailer.
Granted, since they couldn't, mandate it legally here in Texas, they mandated it civilly by allowing you to sue if,
Yeah, minimum $10,000 plus court costs.
If you win.
And that's even if you just were the Uber driver that dropped them off at the abortion clinic.
You'd be sued. So it's almost turning, suing people into big business. Find out somebody got an abortion, then you sue the doctor, you sue the nurses, you sue the person that got the abortion, you sue the Uber driver, you sue the guy that
American
sold the Uber driver
the
car.
If you can't sue somebody, you're not an American.
Yeah, but then again, lawyers don't have great wages, so we need to prop those up a bit.
Have you ever had to pay a lawyer?
No.
Yeah, those dudes make money.
Oh, yeah, even the ambulance chasers make money.
Yeah, I was kidding.
Not quite the same amount of money as someone running a mega church, but still.
Right.
The most interesting ones of those large cases are the ones where you have a bunch of people that are suing somebody, and they get to like $1.
Class action.
And class action, yeah, those are really weird ones.
Well,
yeah, but even when you win that, the lawyer gets most of the money.
Yeah, and with the class action lawsuit, it's not usually about, making money. It's about making someone stop doing horrible things.
Yeah, but if you're poisoning a community, then you should at least give that community some money back and not like $5.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think it was some case about fracking or something like that. The people got really sick, and then they got like $5. Oh. Like, thank you.
A lot of pharmaceutical companies, they get sued and then they have to make a payout that's, $1 billion, and they simply don't care because they made $30 billion killing off all these people.
Yeah,
it's
the
not a
opioid
solution.
The opioid thing where the family that made all that money, the Sacklers, tried to get themselves excused from any future lawsuits. Oh, we'll give you $4.5 billion and we'll run off with this other 20 that we already siphoned off the company. And you can't sue us anymore. Well, the courts decided to turn them out on that one, finally.
Yeah, I still can't really hear about the Sacklers without thinking about the... I don't know what the guy is called, but he's famous. There's a famous actor that reenacted this dude from the Sacklers that just, in a court case, said, "I don't know," to every question. And then they had the famous actor reenact that, and it was so good.
It was an SNL skit, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. Or if it was Stephen Colbert again, because, I watch a lot of that.
Well, maybe it was Colbert. Because I do remember seeing it, but I can't remember where I watched it. It was Colbert.
Well, I only watch bits of Colbert on YouTube, but he does some good stuff. I think it's amazing how he is kept on top of things, and Jon Stewart seems to be falling more and more conservative every year. Kind of hard for a gay Jewish guy to start turning conservative.
Everybody can change, I guess.
Well, I guess at my age, I'm supposed to be a dyed-in-the-wool right-winger, but I never got the hang of that.
Then again, I think most of the persona is pretty much the writers that makes it up because, yeah. So some of the things that Steve Colbert says is like, I don't really commit to this one because this was one of my writers were actually writing, but yeah.
Well, that was more in his past life on the Colbert Report that, yeah, he made it very clear that he was not a conservative, but he was playing one.
All right, I'll be back. I got to go cook some food for the kids.
You're going to cook the kids for food?
It might happen.
That's a can of bolt if I ever heard one. I'm trying too hard, I know.
Yeah, everybody's sleeping here, so I'm by myself. I'm trying to get down so I can actually go to sleep, but I went up really early this morning and tried to solve this on-call duty thing that was, really heartbreaking that things got as bad as they got. And then I have been tired all day, but I haven't been able to sleep.
Sucks.
Yeah. And the most irritating part was that I found the problem yesterday at 1:30 a.m. And then I went to sleep because I was too tired to actually fix it. And if I had done something back then the problem hadn't been that bad.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Can't say I'm particularly familiar with that exact situation, but I have had occasions where if I'd done something at the moment where I should have done it, I wouldn't have as much trouble as I did when I actually did it.
Yeah, and this was a pretty simple case. The hard drive was full in the night, so nothing came in. And then in the morning, it was still full and nothing had come in. So then we just had to clean up stuff and actually get everything in and up and running again.
A lot, some words of that. Yeah, I understood that a bit. Yeah, somebody interrupted also. Dad interrupted. Using Dad's setup right now, not really used to it.
Yeah, we spoke last year, right?
Might have. Yeah.
I think the topic that year was pretty much the most scariest creatures in different countries.
Can't remember.
I had to find a list of things that could kill you in Sweden.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't that long.
I remember something along those lines. I was pretty tired. I remember coming in, people being like, why are you still up? And then I remember talking for a very long time. And then I remember it being 10 in the morning and the sun being out and stuff. And just a couple of things in between. It's like, even during the talking, I had trouble keeping track of everything that was being said.
Wasn't there a Norwegian guy here as well? But I haven't heard from him all year, so I haven't seen him today.
I don't know. Was it? I remember one name, KDG, but I remember two names after the thing, but I forgot one. Might have just been you.
Yes, I believe it was a Norwegian guy that had a three-letter abbreviation.
Yeah, KDG. I remember KDG, too. I remember, like, first there was someone, and then, like, I don't know. Can't remember specifically. But, yeah. Mic's all the way off in the corner. I'm used to having, like, a mic connected to my, earphones? Like, things that cover your
like
ear.
Like a headset.
Headset. Yeah. Like, the cool gamer headset, basically, with lights. That's what I have for playing D&D. So I'm used to that, but that's all the way up in the attic. So if I were to actually use that, nobody would be able to sleep, and everyone would be really angry with me, because then they couldn't sleep. Because even now, it's like 1:15, and we've just basically come back from a long... Nice, well, not too long, just a little walk around the area, trying to have a look at all the fireworks and stuff.
Yeah, we walked out to our, what is it called, playground outside here, and it's about 60 meters or so from here, so very close. And from there, you have a view all over Kungsbacka city, because we are living pretty much on the mountain. But the problem was today there was very foggy, so you didn't see anything. I couldn't really see fireworks that were shot more than 10 meters from me or something like that.
Wow. Was it natural fog or firework fog?
Natural fog.
Yeah, we have just firework fog right now. It's actually perfect weather for a firework. It's dry. I can't remember if it was too windy, but not really that windy. And not foggy at all. The problem is there are no mountains in the Netherlands. Well, there's one. In the summer, we went to a place, a far, far away place called Limburg, where they have actual mountains, and the people talk a bit weird. And, like, they have the tallest part of the Netherlands, tallest, natural part, is like a couple meters away from the border between both Germany and Belgium. And like it's on the same hill too, there's like the highest points, which is like man-made building. And that's advertised as the highest point. And that's on the same hill. Like there's only one actually tall hill, and that's like 300. I remember like the artificial one being 350 something meters up. And the natural, 320 meters something up, from like sea level. So yeah, not too high.
I think we are about 100 or 200 meters up from the surroundings. I don't know how far it is from the sea level.
Yeah, no, that wasn't from the surroundings. That's sea level. Cause Netherlands is pretty flat, except, well, that one part, but that one part is like, it's the most southern like bit. It's like a little, like you've got the Netherlands and then you've got this little like southern blob, like in also far, like far away from the sea and like down south. And it's like, it's basically just foreign country, which pretends to be the Netherlands. I was there and I was like, this isn't the Netherlands. This is Ireland. We're in Ireland. They're just pretending to be Dutch, because I don't know. But apparently it was part of the Netherlands. Who knew?
Hi, all. Klakke here.
Hi.
Hello.
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 Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
If it's the highest point in the Netherlands, then it must be the upper lands of the...
Very funny. Yeah, it kind of is. I basically was the tallest person in the Netherlands then, because I was like the tallest person standing on that platform. And we all know the rules of being the tallest person in the room. If you stand on something, that's okay. If you jump, that's a whole different matter. So the people in the airplanes don't count. They're just jumping. They're just jumping for really, really long. But I counted because I was standing on something which was on the ground. So that counts.
Okay, it's good to have clear definition.
Yes. Yes.
And you weren't playing basketball, right?
No, not basketball, no. I have a feeling if we were, I would probably drop the ball off the thing and then it would roll all the way down the hill, which, well, we basically call it mountain because it's so tall. But in any other country, it would just be called a hill. And it would roll all the way down, and then we wouldn't find it.
I'm usually the tallest in any room because I'm 6'6" or 6'7" or 2 meters.
2 meters, yeah. I'm around as big as my father. I'm like 190 somewhere in between. Like can't remember exactly. Like 194 or something. Or like around 190, or maybe I was like, well, there were different measurements taken with different accuracies, all saying like different things. So there was like, I think 180 something, 190 something, 192, 194, that kind of stuff. So I've got something saying on my passport and stuff and my ID. And then I've got an actual measurement somewhere else. So, yeah, It's
yeah. Yeah, I'm around 1.80 myself, so.
Yeah, I was rounding up because I'm 198 in the morning and 196 in the evening because you, shrink a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, that's also something that might have also been the time of day or how long I was wearing my brace, because that's also, that also affects it.
I was not aware that male shrinkage was the topic.
Well, it happens to everyone. If you stand, well, during the day, you generally stand a bit more. And when you're standing, well, then you kind of shrink. Then the cartilage in between the bones shrinks. And with me, there's also the added effect of that I have Sherman sickness thing. So I have a bend in my back. And depending on how long I've had my brace off, which keeps me upright, depends on basically I'll be tired. And then then I'm more likely to not stand straight. But I was trying to be straight, so. What do you say?
Said, have you ever seen Seinfeld?
No.
George was making a joke about shrinkage.
Ah.
You were talking about getting shorter. He was talking about male genitalia.
Yes.
So George Costanza was really angry because the girls didn't know about male shrinkage.
He was caught bad time.
True.
Yeah, I have a spine curvature too. It's not extremely pronounced, but it hurts anyhow.
I must say that I am not the most, I'm not very specialized in male genitalia. So even though I have one, I don't know everything about it. I just know how it generally works. So yeah, might not follow.
You need to study Seinfeld then.
Yeah, probably need to. Do you know? I've just watched some stuff which I thought, well, everyone seems to have seen it, so then I'll see it. And then, whoop-dee-doo, nobody I know has seen it. Like, I think everyone has seen it, and nobody has. I'm talking about stuff like Marvel or something, which is the entire Marvel MCU thing in the summer.
I think Seinfeld is pretty much an age group. So I was watching Seinfeld on TV5 or something in Sweden, and they were actually sending all the episodes in a marathon. So I think they ran the whole weekend, all 100 episodes of it. And when you had watched a couple of hours, it was really hurtful because you had stomach ache and so on, because you were laughing, not just because it was not really super funny, but was a little funny. But when you are tired, something that is little funny, it's very funny.
Yep. Can agree, yeah. Well, it also kind of depends on the thing, too. Like, I think from what I've heard about Seinfeld, I think it's supposed to do that. Like, some things are just supposed to have you, like, breathing air out of your nose just a bit. But I think that's supposed to, when you're tired, to make you, you're supposed to watch it when you're tired and then laugh a lot, I think, right? Similar to something like Big Bang Theory. I've seen that.
So Big Bang Theory
Morgan laughs.
What?
Go ahead.
So Big Bang Theory is better when you're tired?
Well, think so, right? When you're tired, you had a long day, you're tired, you come back home, like maybe you've got your friends, couple friends, and you'll like that kind of stuff, and then you'll watch it, and then you're more likely to laugh at the jokes than when you're alone in the morning and you just woke up, or like it's noon and stuff.
True, but the major differences between, you know, like Big Bang Theory and Seinfeld is that Seinfeld was literally a show about nothing. It's actually branded as a show about nothing.
And I wouldn't have known that because I haven't watched Seinfeld. But that just strengthens my case that it's probably, I don't know, more likely to make you laugh. to make you laugh like that in that specific way. Because a show about nothing seems very funny when you're tired. I know this because I'm tired right now, and that seems very funny.
And then Big Bang Theory is like Friends, but for nerds.
Yeah, I thought it was a little too phony nerdy for me.
Yeah.
But,
well, they actually did have a bunch of geniuses on there.
I think Snelzing has been trying to say something here.
Unmuted.
Oh, no, I wasn't trying to. I'm still playing around. I was worried it might be Echo. Hello, I'm Shelby. I was told about this from a guy named Robert Neal, and he said there was like a virtual New Year's party full of Linux people.
Yeah.
And I was like, cool.
That's us.
Though, I'm more related to the Linux people. I'm not a Linux person myself. I know. I failed everyone. It's the end of the world. But
are you at least not a Windows person?
Well, I'm not really a computer person. I use Linux excessively, but that's because all the people who know about computers are all Linux people.
I just push to talk.
What?
Yeah, you can avoid the echoing.
Am I echoing?
There you go.
Yeah, hard.
I've got push to talk. I just thought somebody else. Who was echoing?
I think it was echoing through Shelby's screen or microphone.
Yeah, I also saw it through a couple other people's, but I'll also make sure to mute myself when I'm not talking just to be safe. I do have a setup that like sometimes it echoes and sometimes it doesn't. It almost seems to. I wish I understood this audio stuff. I'm also trying to use this on Elementary OS, so.
Do you have a headset?
Unmuted.
Yeah, but I'm not sure if they're good or have audio.
You don't need to use the microphone on the headset. You just need to use the earpieces.
Yeah, that's the only thing I know. In the indie, we have that problem constantly because we also use Mumble.
I'm gonna try something real quick.
I think every time more than one microphone is open, we're getting an echo, especially if one of the people has speakers.
Yes.
If you don't use both a headset and if you don't have a headset on, is basically the problem, because then it's basically when your mic is on. It records the sound being outputted, so you have an echo. That's basically...
I think the only Linux nerd here is probably Moss.
I'm a Linux nerd?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, I've graduated.
Yeah, you're a distro-hopping Linux nerd.
But I barely know my way around a terminal.
Yeah, I know what's the terminal really well, so I still don't think I qualify as like a Linux nerd.
Well, I'm using the network. So I have the only Linux computers at work and use Linux for my workstation at work. The problem is on Windows, you can play games and it's pretty much easier on Windows. And I also use Premiere a lot, but I was actually planning to switch over to Linux this little week, vacation we got now between New Year's and Christmas, but yeah, I didn't have the funds to buy a new hard drive for that.
A little thing about me, and Moss will help verify this, all my computers run Linux, and my hobbies include Linux podcasting and putting Linux on various tablets and seeing how well it works.
And also 3D printing, and also fixing just about anything that's the least bit electronic.
Yeah.
Wait, so Linux on... Is this better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's better.
Much better.
So you said Linux on tablets?
Yeah.
How does that work?
It works pretty well on Windows tablets. Well, depending on the age of the Windows tablet.
Okay, so what OS are you putting on them?
Whichever. I've had everything from Arch to Linux Mint to... Yeah, Fedora. Fedora actually works really well.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I like Fedora, but I'm trying to figure out what to use it for. Do you have like a keyboard attached to the tablet?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, most of your modern Windows tablets have a USB port on the side, or they have a detachable keyboard of some kind.
Oh, that's good to know.
Even if it's a soft one. I started out doing Asus Transformers, getting Windows put on there, and that was The hardest thing with those was the bootloader, because it was a 32-bit bootloader, but a 64-bit processor. So you had to kind of dance around to get it to boot the first time, and then reinstall Grub, and then everything would work just fine like a normal computer would. And some audio issues with those, but then I moved on from the Transformers to Dells, and Dells make it easy. Well, other than the Venue 8.
That's good to know. Has anyone
Any words,
put...
Magic Man?
Has anyone put, like, Fedora on, like, a Chromebook or something? I really want to get, like, one of those, like, little Chromebooks and just, like, wipe it and put, like, Fedora. Because some of those Chromebooks are cheaper than, like, a grocery bill now.
Yeah, with the Chromebooks, you have to do some research. But, like, since the beginning of Chromebooks, the very first one, people have been finding various ways to just install Linux on them, to get rid of Chrome OS and install Linux on them. And it's worked better with some than others, but most of them you can do it, or at the very least, force run Linux applications on it.
What I do more than that, is actually just buy used computers, because you can get a computer that costs $1,200 new, usually for $200 or $300 if it's 4 or 5 years old, and it still works just as well, and you put Linux on it and you don't even notice it's an old computer.
I do the same thing with tablets. I mean, the Dell Venue 11 is still a decent tablet that you can get for around the $100 mark, depending on the model. The 7130 and the 7140 is really the only ones I'd go for. But then, you know, the Latitudes, the 3895.
Can you mute yourself, Snelzing?
Sorry?
I was asking if you can mute yourself. We can hear your keyboard.
I'm sorry about that. Sorry, I'm still getting used to this.
No worries.
A bunch of the Dell Latitude ones are actually, you know, in the $200 to $400 range if you can find them used. And then I also like getting them, you know, broken and then fixing them, because you can get them cheaper when they're broken.
Yeah, and that is if you want some kind of a laptop. I actually have a cluster of very cheap old desktop computer, those kinds that you buy for companies and put on the back of your screen, pretty much. And then I cluster those up and use them.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm trying to get my friend to join. He's bought a lot of computers. Like, he has war stories of basically buying, like, really cheap computers out of necessity, because he's never had a whole lot of money, and putting stuff on them. And he's kind of sort of learned everything the hard way. You do have to be careful that with buying used computers, because he bought a MacBook that someone spilled coffee on. He knew that. But I think the amount of time and money he put into it, it almost would have just been easier to buy a full price one. So you have to sort of be careful.
That is the chance that you take. That it's going to be more work than it's worth.
Yeah, I have a MacBook, a Chromebook, which works perfectly fine. It works perfectly fine with my standards, which is like a billion tabs open at the same time, which is pretty well. But it's completely smashed, basically. It used to have touchscreen, now just has it around the edges. That isn't a problem. I didn't use that anyway. But basically what happened to it is I was on my bike twice, electric bike, and I crashed twice. Twice, the computer had more cracks in it than before. So, yeah.
Well, have you looked into how much it would cost to buy a replacement screen?
Well, it's not really worth it. Like, it works perfectly fine. And, yeah, I've had that now for, like, more than a year, and I haven't had any problems with it. The only problems there are is when I have too many tabs open.
Replace the screen?
What?
Wouldn't it be fun to replace the screen?
Fun?
This is fun? Joe thinks everything that has to do with a soldering iron is fun.
Or screwdriver.
Burning your fingers is fun.
I admire the ambition.
Yeah, but if you're burning your fingers while you're soldering, you're doing it wrong.
Exactly.
Well, that's Joe my experience buys with soldering. Lots of 10 broken headphones to fix them and give them to people.
20, 50, yeah. I've sent Moss headphones.
Yeah, I need to send those back too. I've got a box full of stuff to send you, and I just never get to the post office with it.
If you spend a lot of time on a computer repair or anything like that, then you learn something, and that is a valuable skill.
Absolutely.
Soldering is a valuable skill.
My sister joined.
Hi. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. So I meant to ask, where do you guys go to buy these old computers? eBay, Craigslist,
eBay's the best for me.
Facebook Marketplace.
What was this?
Yes, all of the above.
Yes. But honestly, I found the best prices recently on Facebook Marketplace because everybody's kind of, you know, done their research by the time they hit eBay. Although eBay is a good place to buy broken stuff, especially when people don't really know what they're talking about, because I was able to get some really low cost, like Dell Venue 7130s, because they thought the device was broken and they simply didn't have the right charger for it.
Oh, that's funny. I've heard a lot of stories of people who get perfectly good printers. The funniest, it's not strictly computer related, but I have a friend who's senior living on Social Security, and he gets real crafty and he dumpster dives.
Oh, yeah.
And he regularly finds vacuums that are, he empties them, cleans them out, tries them. He's found like 8 or 10 where they all work perfectly fine. They just needed emptied.
Yeah. Well,
when society
like
collapses,
day,
it's going to be people like us who keep stuff alive.
The other day, my wife tried to convince me that I needed to buy a new vacuum cleaner. And what I ended up doing was taking the vacuum cleaner all the way apart, cleaning out the hoses, removing the brush wheel, and completely, you know, taking off all the stuff that was clogging up that brush wheel and putting it back together. And it worked like it was brand new.
How the Linux user cleans a vacuum.
Joe will clean anything.
I will attempt to fix anything.
I'm trying to get that way.
Yeah, I do almost all my buying on eBay. Craigslist, you never really know what you're getting until you actually drive there and look at it, because they usually don't post all the information about the machine.
Yeah.
And you also don't know if they're trustworthy.
Don't order any electronics through Facebook Marketplace. Like, they'll ship it to you. Don't do that. There's too many scams for that right now.
Yeah.
But if you can show up in person.
If I'm ordering through... If I'm ordering through Facebook Marketplace or finding things on Facebook Marketplace, I'm definitely, it's going to be a local pickup, not something.
Absolutely.
Am I wrong in thinking that if you buy something on eBay, you can actually find all the big sellouts when you have companies that have gone on under or changing the stock out, they sell it on eBay usually?
That's frequently true. Or like when they have just bought new machines, there are some rather large companies that buy all of their old stuff and refurbish it and put it up for sale. I just got this ThinkCenter M700 Tiny. I paid less than $400 for it, and it runs like crazy.
A good thing to do if you don't mind dumpster diving is waiting till the end of a college semester and then going out to the college and checking the dumpsters there, because you have a lot of exchange students that can't take anything back with them when they go. And they'll just throw it away. It's a great place to pick up furniture.
Oh, that's exactly what I've heard from my friend who had a bunch of foreign exchange students. He said that's how you wound up with like perfectly good furniture and
TVs.
All that. Because I wondered, because I lived near college, and his friend that gets the vacuums did too. And I was like, how do you get perfectly good stuff thrown out? And so I'm like, okay, I'll have to remember that. Maybe I'll go dumpster dive. What's the end of the college year?
That's the problem. You have to know what their schedule is. And you also have to know what the trash collection schedule is.
Yeah, I can figure out pretty easily.
To be honest,
I was gonna say I am back. Also, I've just realized something. We got it's not really Ken Fallon that's on. It's the other guy,
Patrick.
Yeah, I know. I remember you from when I was doing this, I think 2 years ago or something like that.
A year ago?
I'm not sure if I came on last year. I think I didn't go on last year. Or maybe I did. It was 2 years ago I didn't go on, probably, actually.
Well, we always...
The years are blending together.
Me... Are we?
Snell's
well,
in.
Huh? Yes.
Hello. What? This is Morden C. Robert, who invited you.
Oh, hi, Robert. How you doing?
Good. There was some dead air, so I thought I'd say hi.
Hi.
Okay. But yeah, me and Schneider is also here now. Also our little sister's gone to family and stuff. We used to come like somewhere before midnight usually and be like, "Hi, we exist," and then bugger off again. So
yeah, we'd just come on to say Happy New Year and then we'd continue on with our day.
And last year I did the usual thing which I like to do, which I have done for like 3 years, but with like a year pause in between because we went to family for once, which we usually never do. Which is basically just me staying up all night and that's it. Usually I watch something, but last year I didn't have anything to watch. So I decided to go talk to people, actually, and I enjoyed talking to people for hours and hours and hours, because usually people don't want to listen to me for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, well, here they will, I guess, if people actually download it as a podcast and start to listen to it in their car or whatever they're going to listen to it. But yeah, staying up all night, I was thinking of probably doing similar now, to be honest. So, oh, pretty much. Well, I'm not sure. We'll see what happens.
I'm too old for
so
that.
How does the recording work? Does somebody just go through and remove all the dead air, or is this whole thing gonna be uploaded?
Dad told me the dead air is getting removed, so I didn't know that last year. I know, so that's useful.
What Honky does is he goes through and yes, he removes all the dead air, and that's just a matter of truncate silence in Audacity. And then he will probably drop out the low end and top end to normalize all the sound, and then he'll split it up into probably three chunks or so. And
is it who's recording it properly? Because I didn't see
Magoo.
That. Does he? Where does it say?
He's not recording it from here. He's recording it from the Icecast stream.
Oh, he's recording it on a different thing, right?
Okay. Yeah, they usually don't get it posted until June or July, but it's there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was very funny.
I think it was five Porsche last year, right?
It might have been. I'm not sure. I'd have to ask Honky.
I know, but I recommended people listening to the thing, and I think it's hilarious. They didn't get that I was joking, but basically... I was saying like, yeah, it's summer, so it's summer, so it's perfect time to listen to last year's New Year show, stuff like that, or like, this New Year I was doing HPR stuff, and you can listen to it in the summer. And that kind of stuff, and people usually don't get that kind of joke because it's lame, and I'm not very good at joking.
No, I get you. No, it should come out probably a bit sooner, really, but I think that's what we're joking about here. Who's Snelzing, or whatever the name is?
I was going to ask you, Snelzing, what area are you in?
Ohio, America.
Okay.
Oh, eight.
Where's everyone else from?
I'm from the Netherlands, Europe, which is Northern Hemisphere. If you need more,
it's also called. It can also be known as he might not like this. Let's see. It can also be called Holland, I believe. Yes.
Oh no, it's fine. I also live in Holland. Yeah.
You've got.
I live in the part of the Netherlands which is called Holland, but it's like we use it. For tourists, for people who don't know what the Netherlands is. But it's not actually called the Netherlands, but stuff. It's basically like, how can I put, it's a bit like New York or like London. That's how I'll put it. It's like the most important part of the country, but it's not the entire country.
I'm in Eastern Tennessee and Joe is in Texas.
I'm from Sweden.
So... Yeah.
I'm in California.
I'm in England, but I'm also half Swedish, as I was talking with Puff earlier. And I think we got... Where's Clacky? Where's that name ring a bell?
Yeah, I'm Sweden.
Yeah.
I'm in Hong Kong, but currently I'm actually in Sweden visiting family.
Where in Sweden?
Fagersta.
Fagersta. Yeah, I think I've heard of that.
North of Västerås, almost Dalarna.
Am I echoing, or is it just me?
I didn't hear.
No, when people are talking independently, I don't hear an echo.
Yeah, because when two voices at once, yeah, that'll explain it.
Usually when one mic is open and they have their speakers on is when you get the echo. Josh, is that you?
Me?
Sounds like you.
I'm echoing?
No, I was just asking if it was you.
Oh. Gotcha, yeah. Hi, Joe. Hi, Moss. Yeah, I'm Josh from the Mintcast.
From where?
The Mintcast, the Linux Mintcast.
Oh, Linux Mint. Mint.
Oh. I thought you were naming the place you were currently in. We were just doing that.
No, I'm from California.
California, yeah.
We really have people from all over, don't we?
California.
Oh, south. Yeah.
California.
South. Are you from northern or southern, Josh, California?
I'm kind of right in the middle in the Central Valley, a little town called Turlock, about, I'd say about an hour and a half south of Sacramento, the capital.
Yeah, I know Turlock. I'm in Auburn.
Oh, okay, yeah. I've been up there many times.
So let's tally everyone who named the place.
But really it's not that exciting because what we've got here at the moment, it seems, is we've got two or three people from America, right? Then we got two or maybe three of us from Europe as well, so you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Exciting, riveting. It's like an action movie. That's how exciting it is.
Actually, I think there are four identified as being from America.
Well, four then, yeah, and some people call it the West.
We win, yay!
The Western world, the Western countries, the developed countries. There's no one from Asia on there, or Africa, or, you know.
Well, nobody's who. From what I heard, there was.
Clacky is normally in Asia saying that, but he's still Swedish, so I'm not counting that in what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think last year we had some people showing up from South Africa, which was really interesting because there was a lot of talk about business and so on. Had a good talk then.
Missed that one. Can't remember.
Mark Shuttleworth, I met him once. That was good. Got shook hands with him as well at one of the conferences. Talked to him briefly. He shook my hand, and I've met Richard Stallman before as well. Two of the most famous people in the world of Linux and open source or free software, if you prefer.
I don't know anybody, but I'm listed right after Mark Shuttleworth on the donors list of Full Circle magazine.
Mark Shuttleworth is South African, obviously, that's what I was saying as well.
Actually UK-based.
Well, Chronicle, let's see, they had Isle of Man thing there, which is one of the British Isles, but then they've got a London office as well, so it's like, right, okay. So it's sort of British in a way, I believe.
I actually met Stallman once, and he actually told off some teenagers who were sitting on the tram and was answering some emails. And then they asked him, why are you using the computer now? You don't have any internet, so you can't really use your computer. And he was like, oh, you can do a lot on a computer without the internet, you should know.
Yeah, I remember... I remember at this university, I went to see a speech, Richard Stallman, 2 hours, you know, it was like 2013 or something, and there was somebody there with like a McDonald's top or something, and he really had a go at them then, like, why are you leaving the room? Why are you going to leave? And that's what I remember as well.
But you can do a lot on a computer without internet. Even look at stuff from the internet if you've got it open from before you lost the internet. There's an echo. No, there's not. There was an echo.
Yeah, because two of you spoke at once, like Moss said earlier.
Yeah, I was going to cut, but I realized I was interrupting you, so I got off.
Yeah, thanks. Well, I'll quickly say, yeah, sometimes when I know I'm not going to have internet, I'll open stuff before I'll go to the place. If I'm like, yeah, I'll have a little rest and maybe read some of this, like, for instance, Magic the Gathering lore stuff. Innistrad lore, and then I'll just open it, and as long as I don't refresh the page, everything is fine. When I refresh the page, then it in school I do have internet, but magic is blocked for some reason. So what I'll do is sometimes it's just like open it beforehand because it's fun to read that.
The funniest thing with telling Richard Stallman in particular that, hey, you can't use your computer without the internet is that he doesn't even do his browsing online. He just queues up a couple of pages.
Actually, I believe there was a story from Libre Planet, their event, the Free Software Foundation one in America, and I think it was about 3 years ago. I read some article somewhere. It basically said that he now apparently does actually do web browsing, and so on like a normal web browsing, you know. And then the audience like gasps and then applauded. Apparently,
I think things like that, which normal things, but because you know the context, you're like surprised and like you think it's cool. I love those kind of things. That I think that's very hilarious.
I looked up Endless OS, and it is like probably the first Linux distro that's like actually made for like the whole family. It's a very clever distro. This is why I like Linux, because you'll just get like weird stuff no one thought about.
Hannah Montana OS, remember that one, anybody? That was made for a bit of a laugh, probably, really, but there's been other attempts at, more seriously, at making things that would be, like you said, for the whole family.
What was the one you said that was kind of for laughs?
Hannah Montana OS, did you miss that? It's from, 2009, I think, now, based on
that would have been much
Kubuntu,
before I ever got into Linux.
Based on Kubuntu.
It is still Google being maintained.
What is it? Really?
Yes, it is still being maintained.
The only things I understood there were like endless, more serious, less serious, that kind of stuff. And for family. The rest all just sounded like magic spells. Like, ooh, I've summoned a fish in the flood of the from the Flimfadab there. It sounds like that to me.
Happy New Year to Capo Verde, Praia, Ponta Delgada, and something that I can't pronounce because it's just a couple of weird letters. So I will send it in the chat, and if somebody wants to get a go, then we can do that.
Oh, yeah, I'm not sure. It's the weather's behind the UK an hour behind. And then we got some other countries next, and then we got another something next, I believe, next 2 hours, and then we got those like 3 hours and a half time zones coming up later. Newfoundland, for example, where I've done some Zoom meetings actually this year, which was for public speaking, which was kind of interesting. One of those places I went to South Africa, did some there as well. We're talking about South Africa. I've been to a US embassy. Sorry, last year, 2021. I've been to South Korea. I've been to Australia. That's what I've been doing. I've been doing Zoom traveling for public speaking groups though. And there's groups all over the world and they've gone online. And it's just amazing because suddenly I can go and have meetings in America, Canada, Australia if I really wanted to, New Zealand maybe if I really wanted to, South Korea and all over the place, Finland, Sweden. And it's best when the hybrid, I reckon, because I went to one in, Tampere in Finland the other week, for example. Well, I've done that twice, but the first time, they had all the snacks and all the bottles, and it looked so great on Zoom because you can see people down in the room, and then you're on Zoom, and then you can do your things as well. So yeah.
So you basically.
What did you sort of say? You want to do something like that? Is that what you said?
Can we get the chat to stop like reading off messages?
I don't have that.
Did you say you want to do something like that?
Yeah, there's a setting to read messages.
Go to settings and general, and then I think it's the second option, text to message.
Text to speech, yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay, so that's like an individual setting. I understand now.
I thought you said you wanted to do something like that, and then he was going to say something as well, and then we ended up talking about text-to-speech or something.
Yeah, I can... oh, yeah. So you were talking about, like, Zoom thingy. Is that, like... So basically, you're having, like, an online meeting, but the difference is you can see the people in the meeting. So you're just basically having meetings with, like, people all around the world, which is pretty cool.
Well, kind of. I mean, it's part of a thing all around the world anyway, and it's been going since, 70 years, maybe 100 years. And there's groups all over the place and in various countries as well. I've been to some in Brussels when I went over there, and one year I went, well, I'm going to go groups over there as well. I went for the big FOSDEM, obviously, but... But you got clubs in America, you got clubs all over the place, and you learn to do public speaking, and everything's evaluated as well. And people do speeches and do leadership roles, and you can get involved with your club that you're part of. I'm more involved with my club currently with roles in the committee. The only catch is you're supposed to be 18 or over to join one of these clubs, and I'm not sure how old you are now, but it's great for business 18 as well. Minus
2 does not equal 18.
No, maybe 2 years then. But yeah. it'd be great for, there are some exceptions to that. Some clubs will do it with schools or education as well, but most clubs aren't like that, but no, it's a good thing. Good to get into public speaking as well, because that's good in business or college or education or anything like where you need to talk about stuff and in front of people. I'll present something with a slideshow maybe, there is this organization that I'm part of to some extent, that probably the biggest one for public speaking, and it's because of the pandemic really that it went online, because people can't meet in person suddenly, and it was like, what are we going to do? Oh, we can go on Zoom, and it works, because Zoom, you focus on who's the loudest, and that's how it works. Zoom for singing or choirs or music, it doesn't really work very well, because you can't even clap on Zoom properly. But for other things like public speaking, it does work. And what I meant by hybrid is where basically, that's why I'm hoping my own club will go this direction, is where we're trying to, but it's been a problem getting equipment sorted out and things. But the idea is you'd have people there in the room in person and at the same time there are people online on Zoom, and then you just interact simultaneously between the two. And it just works very smoothly, usually like that, instead of just having it in the room with no equipment, just no online presence, or only online where it's only people on Zoom. And why not? It got me through 3 lockdowns, it really did, when I was stuck at home, like, a lot of the time, like, what am I going to do now? Great. I live by a city, but everything fun is basically closed for the time being, like restaurants and pubs and bars and cinemas and I'm sure you know what I mean. I'm sure everyone knows what I mean. And you know,
same here.
Library was closed for the first lockdown, and afterwards I didn't have anything to read anymore.
What was that? Say that again.
Afterwards, a library was closed the first lockdown, and afterwards I didn't have anything to read anymore, and because I had everything on an e-reader, and then I already read everything, and I didn't have any new series, which.
That's pretty impressive, because usually people always have, like, that bookshelf of books they haven't actually read all the way through.
Nope. Well, all the uninteresting books, like books about computers and stuff Dad likes, but all the interesting ones, like Terry Pratchett, that kind of stuff, all the things I like, they're all read. Right. I've read them all.
I have enough audiobooks that even though I listen to all of my audiobooks at like 3.5x, I don't think I could finish them in this lifetime.
Oh, I've got leather books here, but they're just old books that have, you know, from the house, etc. And most of these books I will not read properly.
Yeah, I think, the thing is, well, I do have a fast reading speed, but it's more like, first off, I read most of it when, also like the entire library, when I didn't have any online presence whatsoever, didn't watch YouTube, didn't do anything. So I basically had all the stuff when people are usually like online or watching TV or something converted to book reading. So that helps. Definitely not going to reach those speeds anymore. But I'm also very much cautious of books and stuff, like I've read a lot of terrible books for school in the name of school, like literature. The only good literature I found are from the Middle Ages, which says a lot.
You mean The Giver?
What?
Did you have to read like The Giver and stuff? Or
The thing is, we have to read Dutch literature. Like, English literature is fine. There's Lord of the Rings, okay. There's War of the Worlds. Those kind of stuff. That's fine. But with Dutch literature, it's either all very, like, modern day with psychological problems or World War II. Those are, like, the two biggest ones, and I hate both of them. I've had enough World War II stuff in primary school, basically, equivalent of primary school, and they didn't have any other history. And for someone who loves history but doesn't really care much for World War II, that sucks. I don't really need any more psychological problems. I don't think anyone needs any more. Especially during COVID time, you don't really need to read about a person shut up inside all day when you're shut up inside all day.
Have you read any Brandon Sanderson?
Any what?
Brandon Sanderson.
Is he writing Dutch books?
No.
Well, then I wouldn't be allowed to read him.
So did right? you only
right. do... Well, for school, you can read things on your own, can't you?
That's true, that's true.
Let's see, history, right, yeah, World War II, World War One. I mean,
yeah.
In a way, yeah, fair enough, that kind of needs to be covered, or should be covered.
No but although, fantasy although
they're going to do it in their take on things, aren't they? So there's things we're not going to bang on, though. And that's, but then again, yeah, it can, if you get too much for one thing, it can get a bit boring. I suppose that's true.
Yeah.
And I was thinking in England, we've had, what else do we've, it's been a long time since I did history at school, or quite a long time, right? However, I'm thinking, about what, 20 years is it? I don't know. No, 10, 15 years? Anyway, been quite a while regardless. But my point is, what else do we learn about? So, I was thinking we had the Romans.
Love did. Romans.
Yeah, the Romans. Look that up if you don't know about the Romans. That we did, obviously, because we got like Roman baths in the city called Bath, which is what it's famous for.
Yeah, did a presentation on Romans just a little while back.
Yeah, yeah, the Romans, obviously. Yeah,
basically university level, but then something you have to do... In like middle school, like I don't know what the secondary school. We had to do university stuff in secondary school because Guinness economy thingy something.
And then obviously we must have done a little bit about the Vikings as well from Sweden and all that. Yeah,
nice.
Yes, a couple of those. And I was watching a documentary, I think there was Napoleon, who conquered a lot of Europe, I believe. And I remember something on TV, it was about why, basically, in Europe, in the mainland of Europe, why people drive on the right-hand side of the road. But in the UK, we drive on the left side of the road. And I think it's to do with that. And yes. It was to do with how he conquered most of Europe, basically, and he was left-handed, I think, was the reason. So I think with horses and all this, right, because this is before cars, right? but he didn't conquer Britain, so I think it's to do with that. And so for some,
I remember that from a child. I just heard it somewhere, and it's true. It is because of Napoleon. He did lots of standardization.
That would explain to you why America is on the right side of the road.
Because the person who was bringing metric.
He didn't conquer America, did he? Or did
no, but
I don't know if America was around when Napoleon was a thing.
They were doing the War of 1812. I didn't even know that existed, a War of 1812. And then when I found out, I was like, why don't I know about this? And then I was like, oh, happened during Napoleon. Of course. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This is why so I made memorize they did dates exist. In school.
They did exist, but America always had a good relationship with France. I didn't know if they had it around that time as well, but they definitely didn't like England. So they.
America broke free from England, really.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, this is interesting. Yeah. So,
and there's another thing. They just had good reasons to drive on the right side, because then you could see then you could steer cattle better or horses better or something. I don't know. You could do something better with wagons. But, do you know why America doesn't use the metric system?
No.
It's because of pirates. I used to think pirates were, if not, they were at least pretty cool stuff. I used to know the real, what really like for pirates, but then still it's pretty cool. Cool branding. But they made sure that I can't watch my science videos with actual, used for measurements to me. They have to add an additional measurement. Basically, the guy from Revolutionary France was going over to America when it was still pretty young, and he was going to explain why metric is so great. But then he got, then the ship got boarded by pirates, and they were going to ransom him, but he died. Before they could do that, of sickness and stuff, just bad conditions. And he actually brought, I think, a kilogram or something over, a copy of the kilogram. I don't know. But anyway, fun fact of the day, the US system is actually tied to the metric system. It's tied to the kilogram, tied to the meter, that kind of stuff, because otherwise you couldn't do good science.
Yeah, they tried to, from what I understand, in the 70s, they kept getting, they've tried to convert people over here to the metric system, but we're stubborn. Americans are kind of stubborn. So.
Yeah, everyone's stubborn.
Yeah,
Did you know that actually, we're learning this in history at the moment. The entire governing style of America, the whole federation kind of thing, is copied from a before Napoleon Netherlands. And the reason for this is that a lot of Dutch people went over to the Netherlands, went over to America, and then brought their influence with them.
That would make sense. My dad's side of the family is actually all Dutch. Elzinga, which is my last name, actually, you might know if you're in the Netherlands, apparently is very common in a particular region. But
can you type it out?
Sure.
Can you type it out and stuff?
Now, mind you, this is the, American spelling. I know over there it's, E-L-S-I-N-G-A.
I think really, a lot of people came, a lot of people came from Europe originally to America, because they left for an island, probably quite a lot of Irish as well would have gone over, obviously.
Yeah.
And then the Titanic story, where that ship, where obviously it didn't make it. but, they left the Europe and these, for whatever reason, went for a better life, didn't they, in America? That was the idea, wasn't it?
Well, they went for a dream of a better life. They probably didn't find it. It's like America is not necessarily better, or I think also not necessarily worse than Europe.
It depends on what you expect when you come here. That's a big thing. And we even have arguments over here as to like what the American dream is. I find it depends on the country they come from. Like, we'll get people that come from Europe where it's pretty developed, and they're like, yeah, it kind of sucks here, and they go back. But if someone's coming from, like, Somalia or China or certain parts of India, India's interesting. Because some people come over here from India, and they're like, it's way better. And some other people come over, and they're like, hell no. So it kind of depends on where you're coming from. If you come over from some place
where you started out really poor, then, yeah, America can be helpful. Or if you come over here and you come from old money, you know, and you have a lot of money, then, yeah, things go really well for you.
It's a bit like now with the there's stories on the news here every now and again about these boats going wrong, etc. Because there's a lot of illegal immigrants coming over from France who have come in from like war country, like Afghanistan maybe, but you know, like places where there's been wars or really poor. And they got the idea that Britain is really great, so let's go over there. And I've seen this on the news or somewhere they were talking about it, and it was like, it's a bit like, hang on a minute, you're in France. What's wrong with France? You made it to France or one of those countries. Why do you still insist on coming over to Britain? Because actually France isn't that bad either. That's a developed country and so on, you know. It's a Europe problem as well, I think, because Italy and other countries as well. But it's like, why do they insist on coming to Britain specifically? Because Britain it's better than some countries for sure, but it's not great either. You know, it's like,
just depends on what you heard from which people. Like, I've always heard that America is like the end of the world and stuff, but I don't think it is. I don't know, I've not been, but I don't think it's an anarchy all over the streets and like Florida men constantly riding on crocodiles or something.
In other countries is that if you come to America, think of it as like just 50 different little countries that are loosely connected by almost like sort of an EU that has a little more power, but not by much. And stuff will make a lot more sense, because if you are in like California versus Florida versus Colorado versus Ohio, you will have a very different experience. So like Florida, Texas, like they're really weird. You will just walk down the street and someone will just have like a gun at their hip. But like I'm in Columbus, Ohio, which is actually a little more like hipstery and a little more, and you know, Columbus is awesome and super chill. And you know, you can like, we have a lot of like, say, Somalian immigrants, and a lot of immigrants from those countries love it because they come here and they're basically, you know, guaranteed a job almost. It may not be the best work, but you know, you can come here, get a warehouse job, and they often do. And to them, it's a crap ton of money, you know, $15 an hour. And they're like, you know, and of course, if you're willing to, you know,
I've had people from New York ask me, because I worked with them and I live in Texas, if I rode a horse every day to work.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I have had that. And yes, guns are, you can see people walking around with guns, and I live in, you know, central Texas, North Dallas area, but I go to Walmart, I don't see anybody carrying a gun. They can if they want to, but you just don't see it very often.
Yeah, that's a misconception I think people have of Americans, is that we're all just like, or even most of us just have like our gun on our hips. It's like, there's of us that actually now are really afraid of guns.
Questions.
When I was a kid, I lived in Iowa, and northern Iowa, out basically in the middle of nowhere in the country, and it was very common for people to keep shotguns in their trucks, even when they went to school and things like that, because, well, hunting was an important part of our everyday existence, because it was the only way some of us got to eat.
Yeah.
Misconceptions, you said, so I was thinking of something. That there's an idea that Well, one idea is that basically Americans are lazy, and so most Americans will drive a very short distance to go to the store or the shop, as we say here.
That is true in a lot of cases, where people will go extremely short distances in their vehicle. But then again, there's also places where I've lived where there wasn't a store that wasn't a 45-minute drive away.
Oh, so yeah, it depends on, so where I am, I would agree, actually, that I'm lazy because I live near, like, a shopping central where I get annoyed if I have to drive more than 15 minutes. But in the state I'm from, Colorado, people regularly, like, a half an hour drive is considered a short drive. So it really depends on where you are. 15
minutes?
That's everything is like, 30 minutes away.
For me, like, driving more than 15 minutes is long for me. Might be because I just live in a tiny country. But I had two questions, now three questions. Who said that that thing about horses, that they were asked about if they would ride a horse?
That was the Texas cowboy Joe, I believe.
Yeah, okay. What?
Were they just joking? Just pulling your leg?
No, they were actually serious.
Where are they from?
Can you actually ride a horse?
From a country where they didn't have cars?
Can I ride a horse? Yes. Have I ridden a horse? Yes. Okay. Do I ride a horse to work? No.
No.
Do I own a horse? No.
No. I also ride horses. It's like completely unnecessary here, because why would you ride a horse? There's literally no space. Well, there's some space, but like hardly any space. But people have asked me, do I own a horse? And no, I don't own a horse. It's the Manege who owns the horses. I don't. I just go there and I pay money to be able, well, my parents pay money for me to be able to ride on the horses. Or
I didn't
learn
know that was like a stereotype
that.
On Americans that way. I knew about the guns thing and some of the other things, but horses? That must come from like our pioneers day. And I do know like a lot of the cowboy movies probably glamorize it.
Now
I just
heard Dallas,
Texas.
I used to live in El Paso, and people were convinced that El Paso was just the way they had always seen it on TV.
Yeah.
An extremely tiny border town that had like two saloons and a bunch of dust and people riding around on horses all over the place.
So not stereotype Americans, because we're on this subject, it seems, would be that basically a lot of them are overweight, big and overweight.
I mean, that's mostly true.
Yeah. Statistically speaking.
Yeah, the thing I'd actually say about Americans that I think surprises people when I come over here is more just the diversity of body types.
Because the food.
We are, I think, overall, on average, like, bigger than, like, a lot of Europeans. But I wouldn't say we're, like, all really fat. I do just think we are a little... Like, for example, I am actually considered kind of thin here, but if I went over to, like, Japan, or if I went over to France, I'd be, like, probably a little on the bigger side, and if I went to Japan, like, they would be very confused by me.
But Japan is, isn't it true that Japan has hardly any, like, overweightness or anything?
Yeah, I don't want to stereotype Japan, but from what I understand, they are... it's very hard to be, like, any what bigger there.
Yeah. But, you know, I've actually heard some specific stereotypes for, like, I've got some things which I connect to four different states within the United States. Like, transport. There's New York with the yellow cab thingy. There's Florida with crocodiles. For some weird reason.
It's actually alligators, but okay.
Yeah, crocodiles, alligators,
people are insane reptiles. In Florida. There's a large portion of Florida that's insane, and so most of your crazy stories do come out of Florida. And yes, yeah. I'm stereotyping Florida. That doesn't mean there isn't good people there. My dad lives there. But
yeah, the guy
New York
freelancing lives there, and he's perfectly sane.
Yeah, what I heard about Florida is that there are a couple of very insane people, and some sane people, but a couple of very insane people who stuff. But it's mostly just jokes, which I heard. So,
there's different theories as to like why Florida is like so weird. I will tell you, a lot of people as I understand it, retire there, and they get in these, like, sort of white, you know, white gate communities, you know, and when you kind of, the thing I don't understand about America is that I think it's a lot easier to section yourself off from the rest of society, I think, than maybe in Europe and stuff. So that's how you get people to just get weird.
Echo chamber effect.
Yeah,
well, people get weird. In Europe, what people don't realize is that Europe is, well, a really small continent compared to, well, everything else.
Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, if you put, you can surround Europe with four chilies. Not chili pepper, just chilies. Like country chili.
Oh.
and you can surround them just with four of those, which, yeah, they're a very long country, but it's still, it's not very big. And then you've got it sectioned off in tiny little, like, small countries where, like, the Netherlands isn't even the smallest. It's pretty big compared to, like, well, pretty big. It's larger than the rest of the Benelux, which,
If I start driving at approximately 70 miles per hour from one end of Texas to the other...
70 miles per hour?
Oh, okay. Well,
110 in kilometers per hour.
Ah, yeah. Yeah.
It would still take me about a day to go all the way across Texas.
Yeah, I saw a meme I'll just get this. Someone's like, you know, yeah, I, you know, drove to, you know, Germany for groceries, stopped in France to visit my family, and then drove back all in one day. Meanwhile, it's like Florida. I've been driving 4 hours north, and I'm still in Florida.
I love memes. They're funny. But yeah, that's literally true. That it, like, I think I can drive at like 100 kilometers per hour, because that's like the speed limit. And I can go from one side of the country to the another in like a couple hours, half a day max.
I'm actually studying for train conductor here in the Netherlands.
There we go again. The train person talks about trains.
It's actually kind of interesting. I've never heard of like a train person.
But it's only a few hours if you take the train from literally most south of most north. So it's pretty cool.
It's actually pretty cool trains.
Okay. I wish that was more of a thing here. They keep trying to get like a... Now, granted, it'd be harder. Although they've done it in India. Like, get, like, a public train. They've had plans for a while that would, like, just circle, I think, between Chicago, Columbus, Cleveland. Damien's my friend. He's DM Calloway. Do you know about that? But, yeah, they keep having these plans to do more public transportation. But in America, like, the government and companies are, like, openly hostile towards, like, public transportation. It's not, like, a norm like it is in Europe. It's very obnoxious.
You guys...
There's been some really cool ideas.
You guys have rules for the amount of parking you need per building. Yes. We don't have that here. Like, I actually saw a video made by an American person who was specialized in that, so they know what they're talking about. You've apparently got a rule that, for instance, per this type of building, you need this amount of parking space. We don't have that.
Yes,
if we had that, we wouldn't have enough space to grow, to do all this, to actually just exist on the world economic stage. Like, we at least need a little bit of space for farming and stuff, and we need a bit of space for, you know, teaching people stuff, and that those two are like our main exports.
Yes, so, what you're referring to is something called Euclidean zoning. That is the root of all evil in North America.
yeah, we are really obsessed with our cars. I think contrary to what a lot of non-Americans think, there actually are a lot of Americans here that really care about, like, making public transportation more of a thing. But I think a struggle that we deal with in America, I don't think people outside America always realize, everything's really far apart. So the places where public transportation has been most successful, usually it's places that already were pretty condensed, like your New York cities.
Yeah.
LA used to have really good public transportation. They got dismantled, which is a whole thing. So the challenge is like, okay, you know, how do you make, you know, transportation when you have all these major cities that are like hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. apart as it is, you know, by car. And again, that's there was true. A really cool idea that would make, like, I think getting between, like, Columbus and Chicago or something take, like, you know, 24 hours. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah,
well,
there's so, been ideas about bullet trains across America for a long time. It's just, one, extremely expensive, and two, not necessarily, you know, that feasible when it comes to thinking about, you know, how many stops along the way, how long does it take to speed up, slow back down, well, stop here, unload, reload, so would it really be worth it in the end?
Hey, yeah. The thing person. Is also, like, I think when Americans as a whole, as an entire unit of a country, put their mind to something, I think, well, then you get great things. Like, I'm pretty sure, like in the 18-something-something, there was a train line built from one side of America to the other side. I don't know if that's still in use or something.
Still in use or something, but
Transcontinental Railroad.
Oh, yeah, yes, that got taken down a long time ago.
Well, actually, it's still in use, but only for freight.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so, basically, the whole idea was that the big, powerful people and all the people who mattered and, like, basically, everyone put their mind to, we're going to connect these two parts of we're going to connect these two oceans together. And that was, like, also the whole Manifest Destiny thing,
They tried to kill off all the Chinese and the Irish by working them half to death.
Yes, unfortunately.
That's not great.
Yeah, that is something.
All countries have that point in their history where, like, I don't know about that. It's just
But we seem to have a lot of those.
That's, well, yeah, kind of, but it's also with Europe, that's also the case. Like with the Netherlands, the time when we were most powerful and most coolest, and actually we were like the OG, like how America is now, we were a federation, each province completely different. And you have like the seaside and the countryside, which had vastly different views. That was built on the VOC, which was the Verenigde Oost-Indische Compagnie, which was they went to what was known as which would later be known as Nederlands India and now as Indonesia, and they just pillaged it and made it their own little private empire. Britain tried to replicate it, but they only succeeded when they, like, took the Dutch away and made it their actual empire. They couldn't have a trade empire, like, made by a single business, the VOC wasn't run by the government. It was run by
East India Company, or at least that's what we know East in India English.
Yeah.
I always kind of imagined, at least I can't speak for all Americans, but I always imagine Netherlands right now is just kind of being the country where it's like, it's sort of like the calm, like, sibling where there's kind of like, it's just kind of cool. And it's just kind of, I don't know, it's not, there just seems to be kind of low drama in the Netherlands. Like, it's just kind of cool there. The only, like, exciting thing, at least from American standpoint, is I think it's like, you know, drugs are a lot more legalized there.
Yeah, well, they're actually stereotypes for Europe. Because we talked a lot about stereotypes for America, and I think we all know that we connect to the internet, yeah. But I haven't heard nearly as much stereotypes over Europe. Like, what you're saying is actually, yeah, we actually had that in history. We have a thing which is like, we're very tolerable. We tolerate lots of things. So drugs are, correct me if I'm wrong, Sinead, but drugs are illegal, we just tolerate them more.
Well, they are illegal, but they kind of just, I'm not sure what it,
I think I know what you mean, Sinead. I mean, so like, for example, here, before marijuana was legalized, basically everyone was doing pot. Like, it was just kind of, it was this weird, like, open secret, and you basically only actually got in trouble for pot if you were, like, a dealer and you pissed someone off and they got you in trouble.
Right.
Or we actually had a huge problem over here where, because everyone, again, was doing pot, but, like, people of color or black people or Mexicans or whatever would, like, disproportionately get, like, arrested for it over white people. So that's actually one of the big drivers.
And longer jail sentences.
Yeah, behind legalizing pot is because people are like, listen, everyone's doing pot, so, and you're, you know, criminalizing black people for it more. Just legalize it.
Yeah.
And what happened is Colorado, stemming from what I think happened personally, is my opinion. Like, well, I don't know how I can prove this. They legalized it, taxed it, made a shit ton off taxes, and I think the other states were like, oh, okay, I guess we can deal with pot. Like, they got dollar signs in their eyes. It's pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
Yeah,
Colorado legalized it and had to give tax money back to all their citizens, and then other states were like, money.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes, once there's money involved, people will generally continue getting money involved. But basically, yeah, that kind of stance. So, stuff like, for instance, I once heard that there was like a war between Sweden and Denmark, as there usually is. And, like, one of the countries, told the Netherlands, this was back in the pre-France, in the golden era. This was when the Netherlands was actually back then, like, what America is right now. It's like big superpower, which is very, very funny because it's so small and tiny. Basically, they said, don't trade with this other country. Don't know which one it was. And then the people in charge were like, sure, we won't trade with the other one. And then what happened was that they just traded in secret because you could make money out of it. And that kind of stuff. Or, for instance, in history, we once again had a lesson. And one of the things he also said was the Netherlands always had a lot of people, like, what's the word? People coming to them. Is it emigrate or immigrate? Immigrate, right? Another word. You know what I mean. That usually, that was, like, other cultures were just tolerated, like, Jewish people were just tolerated right until like the German occupation, which was little less tolerable, but pretty tolerable. Like, even Catholics were allowed to have secret churches as long as they weren't out in the open. It was okay. The only time it would kind of be a problem is when, he said, I can't remember exactly what he said, but like, the time it became more obvious when was, after World War II, when the whole empire stuff, whole colonialism began collapsing, a lot of people with different skin colors began traveling to, the Netherlands. So then it was more obvious and there was more resistance. But yeah. Basically, like, if you can adapt to us or stick to yourself, then it's fine. That's basically it.
Is there, so I take it there's actually a lot of, like, diversity in the Netherlands as far as, like,
yeah,
race, religion?
Well, I don't know. I don't really care. Like,
we get,
I was
really
surprised,
hyper-focused on it in America, and one of the things,
yeah,
I'm always kind,
that's
of
one thing
astounded
I'm always
by when I talk to, you know, is people are that confused by how focused we get on race. And it's,
yeah, like, my opinion on that is, you're human, I'm human, we all belong to the Homo sapiens group, we might have different ideas, but we don't have to fight a war, we can literally just play Magic the Gathering to decide wars. I don't know.
Wars,
you
I
can
know.
Do something not destructive.
Do you
I
play
don't
Magic
get
the
angry
Gathering?
Very easily. It's just, don't get angry. That's very simple.
Do you
yeah,
play
Americans
Magic
are
the Gathering?
Not good at not getting angry.
Yeah, most people aren't. But I'm just, I literally don't care if, like, if someone, say someone is gay, and they're like to me, I'm gay, and then my response is, okay.
Why do I care?
Yeah, exactly. Why do I care? Are you attracted to me? No? Okay, I don't care. My grandma's also gay. I don't care. That's true, by the way. My grandma is gay. But yeah, I don't really care. Basically.
Well, a lot of people around here will get like really offended if someone of the same sex makes a pass at them and they're not gay. My opinion is okay, you gave it a shot. I turned you down. As long as you don't keep pushing at me, we're good.
That's pretty much the way it is here now. Is, and it's still kind of like, you can still find areas where people aren't out. But where I am, like, if, you know, because I'm like technically queer, as we call it here, and to me it's the least interesting part of me, which is kind of nice, because even when I was growing up, like, it was always this big thing, and now you're like, I'm gay, or I'm ace, or I'm pan, and people are like, hey.
Like, literally, why do I care what you're going to do with your genitalia?
Yeah.
As long as it's not with me.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And it's, yeah, and it's weird, because, like, with our parents and grandparents, they still get kind of weird about it sometimes, or, like, I have to sometimes explain things to my parents, or my grandma just straight up does not understand certain things, and that's why I tell them, is, like, people just do what they want now, or don't, or da-da-da, and I think my mom finally gets it. She's just like, yeah, people don't care nowadays, and I was like, it's extremely oversimplified, but yeah.
Yeah, if someone were to actually, someone would try to make pass of me or something, I would not even notice that they were doing it. I would just react in a very literal way, because there should be classes for that, you know? There should be classes like, if somebody does this, this is what they mean, or something, because it's so complicated.
I'm generally oblivious as well, but I have literally had, you know, guys say, hey, do you want me to perform such and such a sex act on you? And it's like, no, I'm long-term committed relationship, and I plan on staying that way. And that's the end of the conversation.
Yeah. If you're interested in me, just go up and ask. Well, as long as you're in a legal age, of course.
Yes.
Otherwise, wait until I'm old enough.
Exactly. Age of consent is important. I'm not Piers Anthony. Yeah.
Consent is, of course, important.
What is it over there? Here, it's for the most part like 16, 18 in some states.
18.
18 over.
Well, I just assume everything whatever, is 18.
Is 18. Or whatever price your parents sell you at in Florida.
Actually, that is kind of a messed up thing here, and there's actually a bit of a problem with it in certain, like, weird circles, is that you can actually get married before the legal age as long as your parents sign off on it. So you will wound up in these weird situations where you have, like, 15-year-olds marrying each other, and the parents are like, yeah, that's fine.
Or a 15-year-old marries a 40-year-old.
Nine-year-old, 15-year-old. That happens, and, like, child marriage is actually, like, kind of a problem in, like, very specific areas in America, which surprised me when I found that out, because I always thought that we were kind of, like, way past that, but apparently not.
Yeah, there's lots of things which you think you're way past. Like, I've been getting this ads, like, something talk therapy that's brutal and that's still legal in the Netherlands, and like for gay stuff, I think that's like that you try to talk someone out of being gay, which like doesn't make sense, because we're the first country to legalize gay marriage, which, by the way, that's like it was in 2001. I think that's super late.
No, we still have conversion therapy here.
Yeah,
it's like a lot of it here, and it's,
I think, less of it here, but I don't know for certain. It's like this stuff you think you're doing really well in, but you suddenly find out that there's this whole underbelly to society which is all backwards and weird and like wrong.
I don't have a problem with if someone wants to, you know, go to therapy in order to not be a homosexual or anything like that. I don't have a problem with that if they want to.
If they want to.
Parents are sending their kids.
Yeah, that's like, I'm literally shaking my head, but you can't see that. I'm like, yeah, that's terrible. That's literal torture. That should be made illegal.
That should be child abuse. But
yeah, that's literally just like, oh my god.
Conversion therapy is illegal in some parts here, not in other parts. Kind of, again, depends on the state and the city, as it does with everything here.
I think it's largely tied to religion. That's what I've seen from it.
Josh, I hear Josh's voice.
Yeah, I'm here, Joe.
Hey, Josh. How's it going?
Not too bad. Not too bad. Just hanging out.
Having various political conversations here.
Well, yeah, so it seems. It
started from, stereotypes. About America, and then stereotypes about Europe, and yeah.
I don't think we even got stereotypes of Europe.
Well, we were doing the Netherlands, and then we were some stereotypes were mentioned by the Netherlands, and then I was giving them a whole history explanation about some of them. I was informing people, there was something. Oh yeah, it was said that there aren't any problems. Well, there are some problems in the Netherlands, and I've noticed it's usually with what's it called, holidays or stuff like celebrations. Like there's Sinterklaas, which is the major one. This might be a bit. People might be very shocked with this one, but basically, kids, it's like Santa. Like the guy before Santa was Santa. That guy.
Saint
Nicholas. It's Saint Nicholas, but then in like an older form, basically.
Krampus.
Nearly. It's a Dutch Saint Nicholas, basically. Sinterklaas, we call him. And basically he got these helpers. But these helpers, they have black skin and wear certain types of clothing, which people nowadays think is very racist. And they're correct. It's very racist. And then people do schmink and stuff to make themselves look like black people, basically.
Oh, black people.
Oh, yeah, I'm looking up a picture.
It's Zwarte Pieter, they're called Black Pete. Yeah.
Yeah, we call them blackface over here, and it is one of the fastest ways to get yourself canceled in the United States. If you are white and you put stuff on to make yourself look black, even if it's like kind of realistic and not like, it's not a thing you do here.
The thing is, it's kids, and all they want is candy, and it's a fun thing, and nobody actually means any harm, but it is racist. And the thing is, people know this, but there's some people which are like, which are resisting the change to like include like people of all ethnicities in the pizza, or like, what my solution to the problem is that you have people of all ethnicities and all colors, like rainbow people. For like, so if someone, for instance, a gay Pete could like be rainbow and pink or something.
I'm looking at a news article about this, and it says Slate.com, in Holland, Santa doesn't have elves, he has slaves.
Well,
I can tell
the thing is, we do also have Santa, and most people are actually, I think, now doing Christmas instead of Sinterklaas, which they're two different things, by the way. And I think, in presents wise, Sinterklaas is way superior. You get like a couple presents leading up to Sinterklaas, and then like the big jackpot in Sinterklaas. So it's like the bill, like the spread out and the all clumped together at the same time.
Well, he arrives like 3 weeks before the big day,
and
I
then
guess.
Each weekend, and then he
so you
basically
get to
the big
your
day
shoe out a number of times, and then
yeah.
You, get a bit of candy, small present in your shoe.
And then the last day, like the day before he leaves, his birthday, the 5th of December, you get like big presents and stuff. And it, like, it used to be like instead of Christmas, you'd have Sinterklaas. And I think presents wise, it's way better. It's just that it's a bit racist. And there's like a central kind of authority basically on, like, of course, everyone has their own little thing, but depending on where you live, going there would be people going, doing like parades or going to schools and stuff. But there, there's also the Sinternal, which is like a news for Sinterklaas. And they are trying to go over to the to a subpar solution, which is basically just that it's that the beta are black because of the what's it called, stuff in chimneys.
Coal.
What?
Coal.
Soot.
Yeah.
Soot.
Yeah.
Coal and soot.
Yeah.
As we would say in English,
they're black because of the soot. But basically, what they're doing is what they did is they got rid of a couple very like major pizza in the thing. You got a couple and they kind of took them away, which was a shame because they were really funny and really great and great.
No, they didn't take them
they
away
replaced
because
them.
Of the whole situation with them. They just didn't want to be a part of that. Because kind of left the changing of the color way too late. If they had done
if they did it earlier. With, like, everyone, I think. If they included everyone, just maybe a couple black pizza. It doesn't necessarily even have to be your own skin color. You could paint anything, as long as it's appropriate or, like, it would be fine if you did it in time, but it's too late and stuff, and now, yeah, it's kind of sad, actually. And
to be honest, and I'm not, like, a person of color, to me it's like, because, yeah, I'm reading about it, and it seems like most people in the Netherlands are not bothered by it, which is kind of, like, surprising me as an American, but again, Americans get super caught up on race for some reason, so thinking outside of, like, my American assumptions, it's like, well, you know, if you're not having other issues, because this is something I have to think about sometimes, if you guys aren't having other issues with, like, racial inequality and stuff, and if there's not, like, huge income inequality between blacks and whites, because we, in America,
no,
this,
I
we
didn't
would say,
know
is, like,
about
indicative
that
of,
situation.
Like, all this other stuff and blah, 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 blah.
No, I don't think that that's as prevalent, but I don't know. I'm not very good with economics and stuff. And politics. I don't do news.
There's definitely a reason why we're so focused on it. It's not like we're just freaking out for no reason.
Yeah. If you look at American history and slavery and stuff, like, whatever your opinions on it, and obviously depend on the American you ask and all that.
I think it's the thing is, it's it definitely is present in the Netherlands with the whole sort of pizza thing. That's the main that's like, this is the biggest discussion we're talking about here.
I actually had a conversation. I had darker skin. It's not per se that they are black. It's more just the every small thing throughout the year that's just kind of like, here we say the druppel die de emmer die overloopt, but I'm not
the
exactly
straw which breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, that one. So
yeah,
it's, I don't think there's a huge difference, but I'm not sure.
But
it's still enough to, like, annoy.
Yeah, it's annoying. Like, it's enough to assume that if with geography, we did a thing on cities, and it was enough to assume that if more black people or colored people lived somewhere, that it would be poorer. It's enough to assume that, but it's not levels like, from what I hear, from America levels. It's and it's yeah, it's but also Peter thing, it's also the counter argument is also kind of strong. It's because it's our cultural heritage. It's like two cultural heritage clashing. It's like the more Americanized like income of black people, or like the people who came, they're also Dutch, but like the American ideals are coming to the Netherlands, and black people living in the Netherlands already have some problems. Like Sinead said, the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's basically like that, but also with American ideals, they are coming over to the Netherlands. That is a thing. And
I have heard in some places.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in Germany, like just recently in Germany, they since the Nazis, they kind of ignored, and it was assumed that if you were a Nazi, you would get fucking whatever. Like it wouldn't be good for you to tell people that you're a Nazi. Well, it turns out that like there was a whole lot of people in the police force, and there were immigrants from Middle Eastern countries that were getting killed, and they just assumed it was those communities, right? And then it turned out that it was a neo-Nazi group that was pretty prevalent, and a lot of the police officers in Germany were part of this neo-Nazi group. Like, is it possible that the Netherlands is having a similar thing? Like, the average person is like, well, it doesn't really happen here because it's normal. It's not, we don't care about it. But I'm sure there's people, right? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Then again, I'm not very social, so.
I'm not sure. I had
one conversation
with a teacher who had darker skin color, and he said, it's just small things throughout the year that eventually breaks camel's back, but that's obviously only one person, one perspective, so I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I mean, even here in America, it depends on where you are. I do know people of color here, as we call them, who really felt like they haven't faced any issues, and then you have some people where they felt like it's basically defined their entire life here, so... I will say also to contribute to the like, there's a YouTuber I watch who's a very, very, very dark skinned woman, and she actually moved to Canada, and she said like there was a little less racism, but it's also like they just didn't like to talk about it in Canada, but it's like still there.
Yeah, Canada's too polite.
Yeah, she said that was kind of annoying because they just like to pretend they didn't have the racial issues of America, and it's like just because they're not as bad doesn't mean they're not there. So I wonder if it's like that in Europe too.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of Canadians that don't even know that we've got.
Yeah,
we did have the Netherlands. What's called? Well, there was something. If people had a different last name, they would.
Yeah, if people had a foreign last name.
Yeah.
Would be less likely to get jobs, and that's also like
It was the toeslag affair. I mean.
Yeah, what?
Toeslag affair, the one with the daycare, remember?
No.
Oh, well, pretty much if you had a different last.
So are you saying, like, if someone had, like, a clearly, like, non-Netherlands or non-native name, they would be, like, maybe more likely to be targeted? Because we have some of that here, too.
Yeah, well, that's pretty much what happened, and they had to pay money back afterwards. She had to pay back. That actually only happened last year.
When I wasn't watching the news, probably.
What?
When I wasn't watching the news, probably. Yeah.
I wonder
luckily,
if
luckily, not all our problems here in the Netherlands are to do with race. Some are to do with fireworks. Because if you don't know, right now, it's fireworks season. Or firework 2 days. It kind of build up sometimes
only
people
one day, not even
2 days. Well, yeah, one day really. It's technically 2 days. Basically, what happens is I don't know if it's still legal, but it used to be legal, and then it was made illegal like last year. But everyone still set up fireworks, and this year people still set up fireworks, but it was not in our Vakia, not in our little three streets. So we just had a little walk around, but people were doing it just a little bit less. Well, might be because they didn't build up a lot of stuff, I don't know.
Patrick, usually it is just loud, but now with Corona, they don't want the hospitals to manage.
Yeah.
So that's how they will know.
Yeah, but the problem there is that people, a lot of people, for instance, in the government and stuff, are saying that it should be banned. But a lot of other people are saying it shouldn't be banned. I'm kind of in the middle. I'm kind of for it not being banned, because I really love the feeling of just being able to walk around and being scared of being able to explode at any second. Kind of. It's a thrill. It's a thrill.
That's an interesting... I would have thought that was an argument against, but I guess it's for.
That's an argument for, because it's like...
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's like, it feels like lightning and stuff. It like lights up the sky and thunder everywhere. Also, that could be used as an argument against as well.
That's what I'm saying, it's kind of funny.
But yeah, because it's definitely not that good for nature. There's literally mist in the air. Sometimes it lights up to look like the day, and animals are like scared shitless, basically. So
yeah, the big thing here is we have the same arguments over fireworks. Also, people shooting guns off their front porch is a thing here. It's
yeah,
weird.
That's a little less here.
Yeah,
mostly people are like against fireworks. Not fireworks, against guns.
Yeah, I get annoyed when people are doing fireworks in a neighborhood unless the houses are really far apart. Because the thing here in America is, like, you drive out to the country, you drive like an hour out to the country, you can set off as many damn fireworks as you want because no one will be around for miles. So here, people really have no excuse. Like, if they're setting them off in their backyard, you're probably going to get the police calling you at some point.
I'm going to have to disagree with you just a little bit there, because you can't do that across all of America, especially California, certain places in New Mexico.
I should have said, assuming the places that are not dense, which is a lot of
dry.
Obviously in LA, but even still, I mean, in LA,
you can't.
Well, I actually think that's
LA itself. That's fine. Yeah, that's what I'm pointing out here. You can't go out to the country in California and shoot off fireworks because you're going to light something on fire and half the state's going to burn away.
Yeah, I should be careful because my home state actually is basically on fire right now. I'm sorry. I guess.
Which state is that?
A gender reveal party.
Yeah. Well, then it still comes down to the same thing, though. If you're one of those dry states, you shouldn't be doing fireworks, period.
Yeah. it's kind of a meme. Like, it's either California or Australia, which is on fire. Right?
Yeah, either one of them. This is true. My brother actually lit our neighbor across the street's yard on fire one year by throwing a firework up in the air, and it landed over there. And thankfully, we had a friend run over and stomp it out. But everything's pretty dry over here.
Yeah. In the Netherlands, everything's pretty wet. So wet that if you don't keep the dikes wet, that they'll break, and then everyone is wet and dead. And everyone's going to be pretty pissed that they're wet and dead, especially wet. But people can usually swim. If you can't swim, then, well, that's a problem. The problem is that you can't swim against the sea. That's the problem. Because, like, it's actually a very important part of geography. Was very important, together with, like, cities. To know about just water and rivers and that kind of stuff. Because we have... we're basically one big delta. In deltas are the only places where rivers can kind of break up, apparently. I don't know why it's specifically deltas, but literally the Rhine goes into the Netherlands and then splits into two different rivers. So we're literally just one big delta, and we have to deal with that and with like water and stuff. First we thought, just get the water out of here. But now we figured out if we do that, then we'll run into problems. Let's see if I can remember those problems. There's like too much water will basically you don't have enough water in the summer when it's dry and you need it, and there's actually there's more evapotranspiratie, which is like evaporation and transpiration. So you have less water in the summer, even though it rains more. So that's then a problem, and you can need to balance out the water, but you can't just, I'm pretty sure there's like laws saying you can't just chuck the water somewhere else and it's someone else's problem to deal with. It's your problem, the water, and you can either keep it in a place where it, like it would rain. You can either keep it in a place where it landed. You can put it in another place, or you can transport it away, and that's like the three steps you need to do with water, basically. And there's a whole bunch of stuff to make rivers more safe and that kind of stuff, because we can't just keep increasing the size of the dikes and stuff and the speed of the river, because rivers generally want to do their own thing, but we generally don't want them to do their own thing, so we kind of have to get a compromise. What? Yeah, we were, like I said, we were in Limburg in the summer, and a place called Falkenberg, and that is on the Maas, which is also a pretty big river, but we actually learned the difference between them, and the Rhine has like a steady like snow layer, which just constantly melts. So it has a constant layer, but on top of that is just the variation of rainwater. But the Maas only has rainwater, which is a problem because some places you literally just can't get a boat through the thing. But other times, other places, it floods, and that's not good. And that happened in a place called Falkenberg. And it also happened in Germany and Belgium, and there were actual deaths and stuff. But the damage was pretty big. And
Germany was pretty bad.
Yeah.
They had it fixed up pretty quickly.
Yeah. We already had those kind of problems in the 90s, my grandma said, because her wife used to watch the news during that period, and it was all death, death, and death because of the rivers flooding. That's the thing people don't realize. It's the water. We have a pretty complicated relationship with the water, and it's not just the sea. It's the rivers.
It's love-hate relationship.
Yeah, because sometimes we use the water for defense and trade. Like, we used all the way up to the World War II, we used to flood the countryside with water to basically use it as a defensive measure, and it worked really well, except for when it froze over or you could parachute over. If you got past it, we were basically screwed, but water worked really well as a defensive strategy because it's the perfect height for killing people.
Right. We don't have wartime problems like that, but we do also have a complicated relationship with water here, especially when it comes to dams and usage. Like, take the Rio Grande, for example, which has dams and hydroelectric all up and down it. But by the time you get towards the end of it, towards like El Paso, where it comes into Texas, the Rio Grande is basically non-existent most years. It's almost completely dry, because it's being so utilized upstream, despite the fact that they're supposed to let so much through, they really don't.
Yeah, that's a problem, but that's more political. That's something created by the people. This is something like still a holdover from the Ice Age. It's a thing we have. Like, we can't fix it by talking to people and being like, well, it's really hard for you too with like the dams and stuff and regulations and blah, 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 blah. And we need that energy and blah, blah, blah. But
that was one example. My next example is going to be Katrina, which is a hurricane that hit Houston. Yes. And took out all of the walls there. It's not dams, it's levees. Took out all the levees there and basically turned Houston into, well, a swamp.
Well, it returned Houston to a swamp.
Yeah.
Water was there first.
Yeah. But we had pushed the water back and, you know, got ourselves more land. And then, you know, the storm comes in and that ends. And then we put the levees back up.
Yeah. If we would have storms like that, we would not have a country.
How much of the Netherlands is below sea level?
Half of it.
Yeah, about half. And you don't even need to be below sea level to experience problems. Is Enape... Enape is below sea level, right? Yeah, it is. Is half of it below Enape or below sea level? Because Enape is normal Amsterdam... normal Amsterdam spell, basically normal Amsterdam water level.
I'm sorry, I was wrong. It was Harvey that was Houston, and Katrina was New Orleans. But same concept.
Same concept. Yeah, that's pretty sucky. Don't know much about how to prepare for that. We don't really have those problems. Usually it would hit. We hope it, well, if something like that would even exist,
every
it would
year
hit
or,
Ireland and England first.
Every year or two, you Britain. Know, a good chunk of Florida just gets wiped out. So,
yep.
But they keep rebuilding.
We would have the same problem if we didn't have our dikes and stuff. Apparently England also has their coast kind of disappears. And they can't do anything about it. And it's like one of the, Tom Scott made a video about it, that big cities or stuff are literally sinking. And yeah, also with the Vodden Island, they are literally moving to, was it the east? I'm pretty sure it was to the east. We have the start of the Vodden Island, which goes all the way up to Denmark.
Oh. You say a lot of your cities are sinking, but Chicago, yes, is literally sinking, and they will literally build the roads on top of the roads every year as they sink down.
That's pretty cool, to be honest. That gives me Ankh-Morpork Pork vibes.
They put the front doors on the second floor of buildings, of new buildings, on new ground, so that way it can sink, and eventually the front door will be at ground level.
That's just Ankh-Morpork. You're literally just describing Ankh-Morpork. Yeah. Water is a problem, but our history is literally without our water. Say Doggerland didn't sink, we wouldn't be the Netherlands. We would just be an extension of Germany.
I'm not even sure if where we live is above or under.
Yeah. Was it 1 meter above sea level or 1 meter above Enape? Because
I don't know, and that was also when I was.
And it's a big difference once the dikes break, because with rising sea levels, there is a point where we can't fight it anymore. And some people have suggested literally just cutting off the North Sea, which might actually be necessary if we want to survive. But
you mean take away the land was underwater.
Yeah,
because that's the problem here. The whole west of the country, so everything's attached to the sea, is pretty much city stuff. And in the east of the country, where it's a
little more solid, might survive.
They've just got little towns here and there. So
yeah,
might be a problem.
We built our places in the most economical places. Economical being Middle Ages economical, which is boats. And it actually works out pretty well. We've got Rotterdam. It's the biggest harbor in Europe for such a tiny country, such a big harbor. It says lots about countries and harbors. And we're actually expanding it, just expanding the land in the harbor to make new harbor. Because we're Dutch and that's what we do. We made an entire new province just from draining the sea. Without our water, our economy would sink, would collapse, would not be very great. But with the water, and if the water gets too much, we would die. We would not exist anymore. And, well, yeah, what can you do against it? You can't swim. There's a reason the Delta Works were built, and it was because of breakings of the dams and stuff. Great floods. There was a great flood in, I don't know, I think, was it the 50 somewhere? 19, in the century before this century, right when TV became more popular. Yeah, I think it was the 50s. There was a big, massive... there was a big, massive flood in Zeeland, which is like the Zeeland which makes New Zealand new. That Zeeland.
Original Zeeland.
What?
The original Zeeland.
The original Zeeland. It's a province, not a country, and it does actually exist. Seen a lot of memes be like that Zeeland doesn't exist, and for once they spell Zeeland like wrong. They spelled in the anglicized way. It's actually Z E E L A N D. I'll type it like that. Might have made a spelling mistake. Who knows? I don't think I did, though.
Is that the original? Because I'm pretty sure...
That's the original.
Okay. Yeah, because I know, like, New Zealand, they render it that with an A before the L.
Yeah, no, but that's just New Zealand. It's got two E's. Because it basically says sea land. It's the land of the sea, because, you know, it's like... basically strips of land and water intertwined. If you look at a map, it's the southwest corner basically of the Netherlands. Just pull up a map and then like Netherlands provinces or something, and then or just look up Zeeland, and it's the southwest province, and basically there's a lot of polders which are like bits of sea drained away, or bits of water which were drained away and protected with dikes and stuff. And there's lots of stuff there, basically, and lots of water, which is very important. Now, the dikes are supposed to keep the water out, but there are two things which happened that day, and one was a spring flood, and the other was a storm flood. Those are both floods. A storm flood is pretty obvious. There's a storm and it blows the water towards the land. The spring flood is basically translated as jump flood. Basically, the moon is in such a position where it heightens the water more than usual.
Oh.
I think it's in line with the sun or something.
Yes, the lunar tide.
It's the high tide and in line with the sun or something, and basically a greater gravitational pull, so it's higher. And those two happened at the exact same time.
Looks bad. I'm looking at photos.
That was the moment when the Netherlands thought, we have enough with this. We're gonna fix it right now, and they did. There are two major water stopping things. There's the stuff around the IJsselmeer, and there's the Delta Works. The Delta Works were, I'm pretty sure they were the only ones in response specifically to this. Or might have been both, but the Delta Works are like, if you've seen any cool opening stuff in the Netherlands, it's probably there.
Those are the ones that open shelters.
Yeah, there's like massive sluice gates, which usually are open, but when it storms or when there's a flood, something, it'll close. Basically, that's a really cool way of making it possible, because Zeeland was basically like the lots of trade, of course, because lots of water. So and lots of fishing. And we noticed when we were turning the Zuiderzee, which is the South Sea, into the IJsselmeer, that lots of fish died in the making of that lake, because it turned from salty to not salty. And they didn't want that happening in Zeeland, so they made like big, massive doors for water and stuff, so that the water, there wouldn't be such a thing again. And it has worked until now. So, yeah. And there's also, in the IJsselmeer, I've been mentioning the IJsselmeer, but basically, the South Sea used to be a very treacherous sea. And there used to be a couple little islands there with like villages and stuff. And I actually don't live to my school is like in a village. Well, it's a bit bigger now than it used to be, but it used to be like a coastal village. But they built a massive, massive dike in between North Holland and Friesland, which is the last place of the Friese, the old people who used to live here in the Netherlands from the Roman times, even. Yeah, that it's pretty cool, but they're also pretty weird, speak their own weird language, which is actually a fun fact. The closest current language to English, apparently. And the second closest is Dutch, I'm pretty certain. So that's a cool fun fact. But they built that dike and they planned to dry the whole thing, to make the whole thing dry. Instead, they just made Flevolands, which is like, there's two big parts of it. There's like... the little bottom part and the top part. And the top part is connected to the rest of the country just with land. And the other part is just like has a little bit of water in between. And they just literally made the 12th province. They just were like, we're going to make that. And there's now a nature. There's actually a really cool nature thing there because they planned to make a whole factory thingy. But that idea was not put into action. So now there's just swamp. And we actually get to have eagles and stuff. So it has some pretty cool side effects. Yeah. You guys want to know more about Friese? Because I can talk a little bit about that as well. I haven't been talking enough.
So if I'm not mistaken, you're talking about Friesland, right? Or Frisian. Yeah. That's... thinking that's one of the ancestor languages for English.
Yeah, well, I think, I don't know. It's very similar. Yeah, it's from the same kind of family. Like, English is the weird kind of cousin, like, which technically is part of the Germanic family, but, like, very much, very much is inspired by Romanized languages. Like, there's a very heavy Norman influence. It's like old English mixed together with Norman, with French, Norman French, and there was another one. Can't remember exactly. And then a little bit of Dutch in there as well. Yeah. So it's all the languages clumped together in a big mess, which nobody can really understand. So it's technically the closest related and stuff. So it's technically still part of the family. And we're the closest related ones, the Dutch and Frisian. Do you know, actually, the Frisians get their own language, but the deaf people don't. And there's actually a very good reasons why. Gebarentaal, signing, sign language. We already have like a Dutch sign language. It's just not an official language yet. And apparently my mother, who can speak sign language, and Sinead can also speak sign language, and now she'll learning. Speak sign language a bit. What? Thank you, Sinead.
Now you said that there is not an official Dutch
sign language. There is a Dutch sign language, but there isn't. It's not an official language. It's not
Do
like
they use like
Dutch.
ESL then or ASL?
I think
we use Dutch sign language, so it is a different sign language.
Yeah,
which we just use in Netherlands, but it's not. I think we're. Portugal is trying to say it's not registered as an official language.
But it should. There's literally, when press conferences, there's someone signing on the side, doing like all the signy hand wavy stuff, being like sign language. And with all those press conferences with COVID, she's just been there. She's been doing the sign language stuff. So there's literally no reason why it shouldn't be an official language. Well, Frisian is. Like, it's only people in Friesland who speak it, or conductors who are often in Friesland. But they're usually Frisian too. So, yeah. It's a bit unfair. So hopefully that'll get rectified soon. But yeah.
Have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.